want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. Don't call me again.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I'm not a good reader.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most awful trench gun on the market. Got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man!
Whoa!
Yes!
You sad?
You should pull that up.
Wait. Pull it out.
The dart, man. You got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
I'm so tired.
Hey, look what I found. Grandpa's old radio. Grand, to gather around and have a listen?
Well, turn something on. I'm starting to think.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt putt.
That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf course. You know, those things you push up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He lifted his balls clean.
Hey, O'Neill said we were doing a business.
Oh, man, shut your anorexic, malnutrition, tapeworm having, overdose, Dick Gregory, Bahamian diet drinking ass up. Leave me alone.
You can't go to China. What about your job?
Job?
So, right a letter, move to another borough, move to Staten Island. It's a lot easier to blend in with a sea of people in Staten Island than China, believe me.
Yeah, Staten Island.
What about my clothes? How'll I get the rest of the clothes?
Yeah, you come back to your clothes.
I'm not going back in there. Don't forget about your clothes.
Well, I'm not starting up a whole new wardrobe now!
is just take a plane somewhere.
And what, hope for a crash?
It happens.
You know what the odds are on a crash? It's a million to one.
It's something. It's hope.
What up, my yellow brothers? Kinks in the house!
Hi, 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 hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Word you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I saw them all over the beaches.
No,
I thought maybe
they were
storming the beaches of Ocean City.
I hate them. I hate them.
I also say hi to their good buddy Ron.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
Ron's beware!
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Widows Thurman, White, Hepburn, Hackett, and Epson, and all the ships at sea.
We leave for vacation, and they're all dead. You didn't know that, Buddy Hackett?
I knew Buddy Hackett.
Barry White?
I did not know Buddy Epson.
Buddy Epson and Shakes Hepburn.
Wow. They would have been back sooner, but they were personally responsible for digging the hole big enough for Barry White. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie.
Hi. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show at 3:06. We're back on Monday, July 7th,
right.
On WJFK FM Washington, Live 105 Baltimore, WYSP Philadelphia, 96 Rock Ocean City, that station in Iowa City, KCJJ, and brand new paying, so we'll mention them. WBUF FM in Buffalo.
Well, it is wonderful to be back on in Buffalo, New York.
It's only been 10 years since we've been gone. Phone number from any of those cities, or maybe if I didn't mention your city, call us anyway. 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. And from D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. Well, let me just say, not directed at you, of course.
Shut up!
Smoother than a fresh anal waxing.
Oh, my.
The Don and Mike Show.
No, no, hold on a second. Give me another shot on that.
Shut up!
Okay, right. What happened? I don't know.
Is anyone listening?
That's the question.
Someone called for a doctor?
There it is.
All right, there you go. It took me a couple minutes to find out where all the buttons are, but
we're back today, right?
We're here.
All right, live.
We're queer.
We're not going skiing.
And hi, welcome to the show. Today, let me just say, I know right up front, we are not going to do our Barry White is dead tribute.
No.
We are not going to do our Uncle Jed is dead tribute.
Right.
We just don't have time. I promise. We'll do that tomorrow.
We will pay our respects as only we can as time passes.
As only we can.
Yes.
Today there is so much to get to. I, of course, I'm jam-loaded, jam-packed with all my vacation stuff.
Sure.
Mike's got his vacation stuff. We've got, actually, you know, look at this little computer I've got.
I know you love that new gadget.
I try to write down what we're going to do. We're trying to follow this today.
I would imagine today, though, would be a very brief outline because really it's... It's what happened. It's
so much. We're going to start with Mike, then we'll go to me, and then the last part of the show we're going to reserve for the nuptials that happened about a week and a half ago.
Good. I saw Lisa. She seems to be bubbly.
What was that, Robbie?
They're still together.
Yeah, they're still married.
Who had that in the pool? Who had the first week in the pool?
It's been a week, and they're still married.
Congratulations to both of them.
But anyway, that's what's happening on today's show. We're going to catch up, and there's so much stuff to talk about. I mean, we're not even going to get to T3.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that guy who wanted to bet me that it wouldn't make $100 million its first weekend?
How much did it make on its first weekend?
Buzz was like 70...
$44 million. $44 million.
Yeah, but if you add in... I'm even giving them the benefit of adding in the Wednesday, Thursday...
Right, with the premiere. Yeah, like 77.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Still not $100 million bucks.
Right.
So where...
Guy, you were betting that it wouldn't do that well.
I said to the guy, you know, this is... I'm sick. This is what I was thinking about on vacation. I was sitting on the beach... one of the many times I was sitting on the beach, kind of just spouting off and just talking to my wife. And, nice. You know, I'm going to get to this. Nothing more embarrassing than having a fight with my wife on the beach at Ocean City. And right after we're done, some guy comes up and goes, hey, couldn't help but hearing that.
Oh,
you must be Don.
Oh,
and I said, yes, I am. Hi. And he said, I'm an occasional listener.
Oh.
And I said, I swear to God. I said, well, I'm an occasional a-hole. Because it was just
bad timing on that listener's
just
part.
Too much. But one of the things I was thinking about on the beach, and my wife was saying to me, what are you so deeply in thought about? It was like, oh, there's this guy that called the show. He really pissed me off. I don't know when it was, but I know I said, Terminator wouldn't make $100 million its first weekend. That I have no doubt it will make $100 million over its run, but not its first weekend.
So your bet with him is that it wouldn't do a big weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it wouldn't make $100 million.
And it did. What were the stakes? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Does anyone know?
No.
T-bone, Buzz.
Don't know. And the other thing that I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's too goddamn hot. I know the song says it's too darn hot, but it's too goddamn hot.
It's too darn hot.
Dear goddamn
hot.
Too
hot.
Too goddamn hot.
Rob, I told somebody yesterday. I told somebody yesterday we'd do that.
Hot.
It is too darn hot.
Too goddamn hot.
With my baby.
It's too MFing hot.
But we didn't care. Once again, we had what? Rain for 700 days, and then somebody turned on the 100-degree switch,
right.
And this is our summer now.
Right.
Jesus.
It's too goddamn hot. It's too MFing hot.
It's too
eat my sea hot. Anyway, Todd.
God, the weather sucks in this town.
We know.
It
sucks everywhere. We know.
I guess it does suck everywhere. You know, I became aware of that as I traveled. That the weather sucks everywhere, and then it got great.
A couple of phone calls, and then keeping in mind with this schedule, we're going to get right to Mike's vacation first.
Okay? Yeah, and can I just say before I talk about my vacation, this is just a warning. To the people that did what they did to me over the weekend, the new people that I just met that did that horrible thing to me, don't call today. I don't want to hear from you. I'm going to tell the story. Trust me on this, I will. But, I mean, really, your new acquaintances, and I have my rule with all of my friends, don't call. I can't protect you.
Okay,
there you go.
You know what? There's one thing missing here for me to do this radio show today.
What would that be?
I want to thank our crack staff, many of them on crack.
What would you be missing today?
What do we have? The telephone that goes right here.
The one that, like, you answer.
The one with the buttons that you push to put people on the air?
It's over here. Just out of reach.
It's over there now?
God, I didn't know that Ron Bennington has that long a reach.
There you go.
He's got like a... What's that comic book character? Stretch-O-Matic or whatever?
Oh, that's Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
Oh, and here he is making his first appearance today, Joe. And Joe, why is your shirt right side out?
This new schedule's got me totally confused.
I told her earlier today, and you are wearing your button-down polo shirt inside out.
I left it that way for Rob.
Yeah. That's great.
After 2 weeks of not having to worry how I look or how I feel when I come in here, I guess this is the one thing... Plus the phones that I forgot.
All right, well, that's a good job.
Because when you're here, he's such a slave to fashion.
Better get out of here, Joe. Mr. Pizza Guy's here.
And wasn't he supposed to wear a sport jacket someday soon?
I think so, and a tie.
That's when we're going to do the Joe Ardinger Millionaire thing.
Right? Oh, okay.
We're still going to do that.
Good.
And, you know, Joe's taken French lessons. His girlfriend, his gal pal, told me at Boy Hill's wedding that Joe's actually taking French lessons.
He has a lot of pressure being the only single guy on the show now.
Yeah.
Really, really tremendous pressure.
And having to learn how to conjugate verbs.
Well, Joe's not married yet.
Well, he might as well be. I mean, he's as head over heels committed in love as I've ever seen him.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Let's take calls, and we'll start with this one right here. Hello, Don and Mike, but just a few. Hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
They took you off the air in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, let's all stop.
Hey, welcome back. First call back from vacation.
Let's stop for just a moment and contemplate that loss. You know, I feel bad for the people in Mobile, but I ain't surprised by it.
I really tell you what the tragedy is here, is I had written down 4:12 was my prediction for the first call that would go bad, and I missed it by almost an hour.
Now, I don't know if this guy's, if it's a bad call.
It didn't go well.
Well, I know that I would like a little positive energy upon
it. Well, I do want to thank y'all for 7 years of entertaining my life.
I think that's why he called.
Well, thank you, my friend. And move to where the food is.
Yeah.
I mean, we were on a POS station in Mobile.
Oh, yes, it was.
And I think that the more that we get into the syndication thing that we're not going to address anymore on the air, you're going to find a bunch of those stations like that will sadly be going away.
That's what I was telling the station manager, the program manager. Is that the reason they let y'all go? And he was giving some other BS reasons besides that.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course he will. Why would a program director tell you the truth?
Anybody with the name of Bernie Dickman, you can understand.
I don't know which is worse, being gut shot or not being on in Alabama.
I don't know. Well, now you got time to consider it, Mike. Rob, go get your gun. hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, welcome back.
Thanks.
We all want to know, how many times do you get laid this weekend?
I will tell you that. That is in my...
That was actually the plan, right? That you were going to update everybody. We made guesses. Was it the weekend or was it every day during the vacation?
It was during the... We had 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to start getting into my weekend thing if I tell you the total.
Right. Okay. I can tell them mine. Zero.
Let me just say the...
Zero.
The total is disturbingly low due to the fact that there was constantly other people there.
Oh.
Constantly. If you ever go to Ocean City and you want to know where I live, just look for the big sign that says Don's Motel. Our rates are incredible.
Look for the traffic.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing quite like that family togetherness.
Hello, Don and Mike show. No, I like having my family down. All 8, 9, 10, 12 of them were there at one time. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Rob A. Buzz, hello.
Hi.
Y'all went through the list just a few minutes ago. Wanted to let y'all know y'all are, for the time being, coming through loud and clear on 1350 WOYK up here in York County, Pennsylvania, and loving every minute of it.
Well, we're going to...
I got a little Pennsylvania chat coming up, too.
We are going to sleep well
Jesus
tonight.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Thank you. See you.
One word for Pennsylvania. Finish it!
Okay, so let's get to Mike's vacation first. That's enough small talk.
I don't know where to begin.
We're glad you guys are listening. We're glad you're calling. Thank you. This is kind of the day where we get it all out of our system.
Right.
So, you know, stay tuned, though, because we will be giving away $1,000.
Well, then.
If you actually listened to the those best-of shows the last couple of weeks, we have actual trivia questions from selected broadcasts.
That's very, very good.
I'll be
like
asking
that.
Those later to give away
very
the money.
Very clever, boys.
Let's start with Mike.
I had a wonderful vacation. I had a great time. This was the vacation where I take my kids away.
Sorry, my fault.
And the only thing that made it difficult is when I was heading up to Maine, which is where I went, I drove. And I trailed a boat on a trailer, which is, a little different driving experience and something I don't necessarily recommend. It's a little dangerous.
Did you have problems?
I the only problem was going through Pennsylvania. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, had said to me, when you're going up to your mom's house in Hartford, Connecticut, what you want to do, instead of going all the way through that, you know, that crap with the New York City area and the George Washington Bridge and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You should go up north, go through Pennsylvania, and then shoot right across to Connecticut. And I said, well, how long did it take you? He said, oh, well, when I did it in about 5.5 hours. So when I was trailing this boat, first of all, we were at the tail end of our period of rain where we had, 33 days with 32 of them pouring rain.
Yes. Right.
And it was really, I would have been fine, but it was as though someone was standing on top of the hood of my car with a fire hose, I S you not, for the entire time I was up there. And the truckers do not, I would think that because I'm trailing a recreational vehicle, a boat,
do not start our first day back from vacation with a rant against Americans, truckers.
Okay.
America's truckers,
right.
The guys who make it possible for us. Rob, you really think so this early?
Well, he was starting on the...
Don Geronimo and Patrick Bateman, Don and Mike show.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say it nicely then.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just a little more consideration for people that maybe don't do this for a living, don't trail something that might wiggle occasionally and I was a little frustrated that the 5.5 hour trip that I had looked forward to took me 9 hours. That was just a little. And but you know what? The girls, Catherine and Elizabeth, I got me one of those little DVD things in the back of the car.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Instant babysitter, right?
But, even with that, you would think after a 9-hour car ride, even with that diversion, But no, they were both coming and going. I'm talking 9 hours to get to Connecticut, and then like another 8 or 9 hours
to
get
to
Maine.
You give them some Benadryl on top of that?
I didn't need to.
And you have smooth sailing.
They were as awesome as two little girls could be. They were phenomenal. I mean, right. I didn't have one single problem. What I have problems with is the fact that coming back through Pennsylvania, it's under construction. Everywhere is under construction, and it's difficult with those little concrete Jersey walls to trail a boat. And on the way up, I was yelling at the rain, and on the way back, I was yelling at the construction. But it was fine up until my whole family, who I love very much, but...
here we go. Now, this...
And now, look, I've talked about this before, but I really have figured out some things, and I'd like to share them with all of you.
I've heard a bit of this, and I'm glad... You're going with this as your lead.
I don't know whether I've ever said this point blank on the air, but I consider myself just a little effed up as a human being. Okay, just thank you. Thank you for that. You've known it.
That's
You've
right.
worked with me a long time.
Yeah.
You're a little effed up, too, and I think that's why we work.
That's
why.
Right.
Really, I think that's why we've, this has been my longest, association with anybody in my life, right?
Right.
And I think one of the reasons, I'm not blaming anybody, but when I got up to my house up in Maine, which is now, because of my father not being there, God rest his soul, is now kind of a female-dominated society up there. And my 83-year-old mom, God love her, and my sister, God love her too, they are in charge. And they've got it all figured out. And I really...
That's funny.
I was going to compose a list of what I was told.
God lover is like a preamble.
Mm-hmm. I love
you
her.
Before you're going to say something bad.
My mom especially. I love my mom. She is a great lady. But, Jesus. Every hour, every waking moment, there was some...
Tell them the list.
...direction.
Tell them the list.
The list was... I didn't make a list because I knew if I made a list... It would make me... I wouldn't be able to get through this.
Well, do it off the top of your head.
Top of my head, as far as what... Right. It starts with the drive up. I am told what lane to go in. I'm told what exit I should take. I'm told what speed to go. I'm told what restaurant we should stop at. I'm told what we should do to amuse the girls. I'm told what time they should eat, what time they should go to bed. I'm not told, in a bad way. It's just opinions, okay? Mm-hmm. These are opinions that border on direction. They border on directions as far as... telling me what to do. We get up to Maine, and my sister arrives, and then the combination begins, which is, I'm told what time I should greet my guests. If there are guests coming, I'm told what time we should eat dinner, where we should eat dinner, how we should eat dinner, what to do, where I should go. I am told what time I should put the boat in the water, what time I should take it out, whether I should or not. I'm told whether the girls should get a walk or not, whether they should get a bath, whether they need that. It's not like I'm being... completely yelled at, but I am being, there's an opinion in the event that I walked out on my effing porch at this house, which I now own with my cousins and my sister, and it's my week, okay? So the big thing, and this was what my 83-year-old mom would always tell me, this is your house. And she makes this big deal about, your sister is your guest, and it's very, would you mind if your niece came up? I'm like, what am I? I don't look at it like that. It's family. Come on up.
Yeah.
Don't make a big, because don't give me this line of crap about the fact that it's my house, because really, it's not.
No.
This is a charade. This is just a complete fabrication, because the fact is, when it gets rolling, I'm not the guy that has the house. I'm the little brother again. And I'm 44 now, and it doesn't fit anymore, and I feel really weird. But it's the kind of family where you go out and you would say, boy, that sky is really blue. It's not really blue. It's more like a little cloudy, and just little every...
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, I kind of snap. At a certain point, I'm just like going, please let me be an adult. That's all I want. Now everybody that has a parent, probably, or an older sibling, probably relates to this. I'm not alone, but you feel... You don't feel like you're an adult when you go into these situations.
Also,
and I'm sorry, now that I'm a single dad and I'm trying to do this, it's more important for me to get that kind of respect, because I'm running the show with my kids, and I think I'm doing a pretty decent job.
Look at the situation. You're up there now. You're the baby of the family.
So you know what you said one time about, though, this being therapy?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so
good. Well, think about it. You get up there.
So good.
You're the baby of the family.
Right.
You think you got it together. Your kids.
Yes.
You bring them up there. You're doing everything.
And I'm really here I am traveling hundreds of miles with an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And it's just, we're singing. It's just moving along perfectly. Everything's fine. And I just, and it just got to a point where I was ready to have a complete and total meltdown. If I heard,
what else?
You know, you take 4 inches off your daughter's hair, which I can't do, because really, that when you have a relationship with a separated person, you know, you don't go up and hack off their hair unless you have a bad relationship. And I'm not going to do that because, and it was always kind of an opinion. And then they'd go on about it, and I'd say, well, you know, maybe I'll call Laura and we'll see about it. Oh, no, 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 don't do that. Well, then don't keep saying it. It was just
how much help did you get from your mom and your sister?
I got every day, every waking hour, every nanosecond of the time that I was conscious with both of them around. When I wasn't sleeping, there would be, there was help also, because my sister spent time with my daughters, and it was great family time. My cousins were up there. They spent time with me. It was great having my family around, because I live so far away from my family. That was great. What was crazy was, you know, and I'm even going to, this hurts me to do this.
Damn.
I got to take my sister off the hook a little bit here, because it really was.
Just your mom?
It was my mom who was just, you know, I love her, but she was everything. There was an opinion about everything. Opinion, when it came to me, it's an opinion. My sister being the older sibling, she's really, you know, she makes a call here and there, everything's fine. With me, it was something where I began to just understand why I'm as effed up as I am. That maybe
you.
Maybe living your life where opinions are shared on every single aspect of your existence, not necessarily negative all the time, but just opinions. And, you know, and I happen to be wrong a lot of the time, the way it goes with them. I happen to make a call that, you know, why are you doing that?
I think if you went to a court of your peers, you would find that you probably would get a slightly higher rate on that.
Mm-hmm.
That if you brought the same situations to us,
yeah,
we'd probably say, yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, I think around here, we, you know, there's kind of a live and let live thing. And when you're with your coworkers, you know, you do something, you don't come out and share it with them. You know, you talk behind their backs. That's the that's the normal way of doing it. You know, you don't lay everything out there. And I think I wasn't used to it, and I've been living on my own quite a bit. And it was, but all in all, things went fine until I drove back through Pennsylvania again, which is the state that wasn't finished, and it was 9 hours for me to get back. And you know, when I did have one point where I said, look, would you please let me be the parent? I'm 44 years old, and I got probably a little testier than I want, and then I got the line. And you know what? People can use things emotionally against people no matter how old they are. And the comment that was made
Hold on. Let me get something here before you get the line.
Okay. This is when I got a little too testy.
The line? The line was,
this is it. This is the line that was used, and this is when I had to stop in my tracks. Maybe it would be best if I just wasn't around anymore. You know, and then I go, you know, what do you say to that? I mean, really.
That was your mom saying that?
Yeah. And, you know, and at her age, it carries a lot of...
Michael, maybe it would be best if I wasn't around.
And then I, you know, I had to calm down and just suck it up and deal with that, and it was fine. And then we came back and
Mammo. So really, not Mammo, Mammo.
I'm painting a very negative picture, which I shouldn't do. I just, there were a few things that I needed to get off my chest.
You know what, you're painting?
I've gotten them off my chest.
Honest picture.
It's an honest picture, and then the drive back was, it was just long, and for the friend, alleged, who recommended this route for me to take 5.5 hours, I don't know, you know, what narcotic was injected into his neck before he made that assessment? Because really, 9 hours when you're planning on half that much is a little frustrating.
Yeah.
And for Pennsylvania, for anybody that drives through it, finish it. Just finish it. You know, just give me one road that's not, you know, around Harrisburg that isn't like chewed up and crap like that. And then when I got back, I dropped my kids off the night before the holiday with my wife. She was going to have the kids for the 4th of July holiday. And that's when I went out with my friends.
And what is the word we use now when we get
festive? Festive.
You're festive. So you were very festive?
I was festive through last night. If I look a little like tired today, I was.
You do.
I don't usually do that on
what is
school
it
night,
that,
but I did it on last night.
What is it that you were telling me and you were saying to Lisa, if the people call, don't put them through?
Right. The 4th was great. I'm with my buddy John on his boat and having a fantastic time, and everything was great, and much revelry, and then I ended up hooking up with another group of friends the next day on Saturday, and I was really, really wiped out, and It was a point where these were all new people, and they couldn't have been more, you know, hi, how are you? And what they do is on the water, you raft. It's called rafting off. You've been a boater. You know what I'm talking about. You tie off to like three or four of these big boats, and everybody has this big cookout, and it's a lot of fun. And we're tied off in the river, and everybody's having a good time. But I'd had quite a bit of night on the 4th, and very little sleep,
been very festive.
And the friends that I was with in a similar situation, and said, well, you know, why don't you go down below and just, you know, take a cat nap? And I said, you know what? I've just met all of you for the first time, but that's a very generous offer. And I think I'm just going to go down and just catch a little shut-eye. It's this big boat. It's got air conditioning down there. I'm going to go down, and I'm going to chill out. They got a whole, like, sofa on this boat, and I'm going to go down and lie down. And I went down and took a cat nap. Now, I didn't know these people very well, and they were very, very nice.
These are more your boat people?
These are more my boat people.
Right.
And new boat people, which is always very fun and exciting. And I took a cat nap, and I was awakened, startled at one point by a flash boat. and then I just immediately drifted back to sleep. I said, well, somebody, you know, I'm sitting there in my bathing suit, you know, lying down with my shirt off. I'm sure it's a pretty, pretty funny picture right
sexy.
There, right? Yeah, real sexy.
Sexy.
So here's the deal. Later on, I hear another, I feel, you know, with your eyes closed, you feel the flash bulb. And this time, I wake up, and I look down at my feet, and while I was sleeping, they had painted all of my toenails red, bright, bright red, and no one was offering me any nail polish remover. So for like 4 hours, the rest of the day, I had to, and it was hot, and I was going swimming, and I didn't want to swim with my sneakers on, so I had it was festive, and they had painted my toenails, and I didn't get that taken care of until Sunday morning. I wore shoes, you know, after that, but they were. That's why I said I didn't want them to call, because it just, you know, I've gotten enough embarrassment. They claim that they took a picture and, like, put it on the internet or something like that.
Oh, really?
I don't know where it would be, but if it was the end of what was the good, the bad, and the ugly. It had its moments. The vacation had its moments, and it wasn't too shabby. And I enjoyed it. I actually watched the DC fireworks. You know, sitting in an area of the boat all by myself, and you know, it was fun. I mean, I was alone for that particular moment, but I was among friends, and I'm all right.
Good,
I'm fine. I'm really fine, and
you got issues, dude. But I'm with you.
Everything's going to be all right.
I'm with you.
We're with you. But I'll tell you, you know what? The best part of it, and really, you know, if you can go out and rent yourself an eight-year-old and a 6-year-old, because really. They're the only thing that is just the ray of sunshine that just, they're fantastic. They are the greatest, and they had a blast, and we did more stuff, and more like stuff, outdoorsy stuff with that boat, where we saw stuff up on the coast of Maine, seals, porpoises, I mean, just, and on my own. I wasn't on any one of those tourist boats or anything. This was me and my kids out on the water, and it just could not have been better. It was fantastic. And you know what? When I'm out there and I'm on the water with them, nobody's telling me their opinion about stuff.
Yeah.
It's just me and them. And you know, they don't lay opinions on you at that age, really. They will, I'm sure, as they get older. And well, that's not true. They do have their opinions of, you know, certain family members being a little too bossy. This is the way they put it. This is a pretty severe indictment, man. When you're 8 or 6,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
They're too bossy. Your mom and your sister are too bossy, and sometimes a little mean. well, the captain, I said, how is it you're doing? We do this thing where we talk about the day, and one lies on my right side and the other, and they have these two beds that I pull together, and they sleep in this one room in the house, and every night I would read them a story, or we just talk for about 10, 15 minutes. I just lie down with them, and it was a wonderful bonding. Second to last night I'm there, I said, how, you know, are you having a great time? Yeah, but, you know, sometimes Kathy's bossy and Nana's mean. She says,
oh,
when we were in the grocery store, my kids do, you know, they're great kids, but they tend to wig out a little bit in the grocery store like most kids do.
Sure.
And she, Captain said, Nana grabbed my arm like this, and she did this thing where she squeezes the arm. And I remember that was my, when I was a kid, that's what I got the old grab on the arm thing. And
pinch it.
Yeah, it was like that. And
Welcome back.
I'm very glad to be back. I miss my kids already, though.
Welcome back to this dysfunctional cocoon. We accept you as you are.
I'm fine. You know, I mean, I'm very comfortable with my Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of life, where I have this family man side of me, and then when they're not with me, I have no reason to be responsible, and I go down and, you know, pass out on a boat and have my nose, my nails painted.
The people that you had just met.
I mean, we're talking maybe two hours into this. This might happen.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a break here. No contest today, except for the $1,000 thing. But no contest.
Very, and congratulations to Charlie. I didn't get a chance to go to the wedding.
Oh, you're going to hear all about it.
Yeah, I'm very sad I missed that, but, you know, I sent them a gift through the mail.
You are going to hear all about it. Oh, and you misspelled his name. No, his first name.
How did I spell it?
Charley.
Charlie? Is Charlie around?
Somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
I saw him earlier.
Okay.
See, he mentioned that...
I'm glad after that gift I gave you, you could just bust my balls about misspelling your name.
I forgot about
it. I just want to say congratulations. There you go.
What, are you giving each other the finger?
No,
I would think after
I can hear you.
15 years, you would have... Well, no.
Who are you talking to? It's a detail.
Yeah, I know.
Charlie.
Correct, yes.
And what did I do? Put a Y on it?
Yeah, L-E-Y. And you can put next to it both times. Spelling.
Right.
Speed. Yeah.
That's good.
Like you were unsure. You worked with him for 15 years.
Was it Charles, though, on the check?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's cash.
It's cash.
That's all that matters.
That's right.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, I probably would have thought about that if I'd been there. It was a long distance thing that screwed me up.
Yeah, I saw the postmark.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, I sent it from Connecticut.
Well, you missed a hell of a wedding.
I'm sorry I did, and I'm very glad to be back, and I feel very... like purged right now. But I got this off my chest.
Good.
It's very, very cathartic.
Helping.
You wouldn't do this if we were on in Hartford, though.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't do this if your mamo could hear it. Your mamo could hear this.
No, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't think I would, because I really, you know, at this stage of the game, I wouldn't want to upset the apple cart. And, but it's all, you know, it's fine. And they love my kids, and they couldn't be better family members. It's just, you know, I don't think I'm alone in this. I think everybody...
Yep. But things get back,
mm-hmm.
even though... So just, let me just sum up.
No, now don't do something, please. Not the first half hour we're on the air.
Mary, Mike mm-hmm. loves you.
No, if you say anything... Hey, yeah, wait, I'm going to write down a word. Hold on. This will... No, wait.
Back off! That was all.
No, here's what I thought you were going to say. Yeah. Do not repeat this. I thought you were going to say this. I thought you were going to say that. And that will rock my world, my friend.
Not,
okay?
I would,
but that'll be our little personal joke. Right?
Mike didn't even write down a bad word.
Right, no,
you're wondering.
I
wouldn't.
Okay, because that would, you know, it does. Eventually, this will get back to my family, and I will. You know, what exactly did you say? What I said was, I love you, Mom. I
back
love you.
Off!
Love you, Mom. I love you, sis.
Stop criticizing Mike. He's not a perfect man, but I say to you, O'Mara women, look in the mirror. For do you see perfection? No.
What?
Now we're getting to a point where we're doing our own private show, and I can't read.
Here's where it turns ugly.
What, no wire hangers?
Stop it!
All right.
Okay.
Oh, God.
That's my vacation. Right. Glad you're back.
Very glad to be back.
I'm very, very glad to be back.
Got a break. Mine is kind of in the same vein.
Yeah.
My vacation. I mean, not awful, but a couple of moments.
Yeah. That's what vacations are all
that
about.
I'll share with you. A couple of moments. I think I'll start off with a-holes. none of them being related to me.
Right.
Just a-holes.
Oh, can I leave you with just one thing?
Yeah.
One brief thing that I did yesterday.
Sure.
With my friend John's boat.
Yeah.
I bought, you know, when we went to Toys R Us, I told you that story about we went to the toy store and got the remote control boat.
Yeah.
Well, there were a bunch of women in the water yesterday, and I named the boat the Sea Ray Tea Finder. But I wasn't using tea, I was using the word.
Oh, teat?
Yeah, the Sea Ray Teat Finder, and was having a great deal of fun pointing the control boat at these bikini tops. That was my, see, I told you, I had some kind of little venting. And then I was doing narration as I was on it. It's the amazing Sea Ray Teat Finder. Yes, sir. Look at the way it homes in. Yes, if it gets near a male, it turns around promptly and then gets right back to action. The C-R-A-T point. And they were all like screaming and running out of the way.
With your red toenails.
No, they were. I got the nail polish removed by then.
All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What I miss the most.
Me too.
I was doing these commercials on the beach.
It's fun.
It's summertime and everyone's bouncing from one place to another, but if you switch to Singular Wireless, it's easy to keep in touch with your whole family no matter where they are.
It's easy to add lines to your plan. Just call 1-866-SINGULAR to get Singular's Family Talk. Plans start at just $39.99 and it's just $9.99 per line per month. No matter where you are, your whole family can stay in touch all summer long. Plus, nationwide long distance is included.
Wow! What could be cooler than that?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your family connected by switching to Singular Wireless. For home delivery, call Singular at 1-866-SINGULAR. Log on to Singular.com. Go to Singular Wireless Store. Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wait, yo, man, come hit this right here. You need to hit this.
Oh, yeah.
No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring. Stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Really?
Testicle, 1, 2, 3. Oh, so that's your secret. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, we got to get Dude Walker on this week.
Yeah.
He's getting a little fried. Amen. He's old Levi goodies that we're running. I got to play this because I was at the beach for 2 weeks, except for the Broy Hill wedding.
Man, I tell you, you got the Uber tan. That's for sure.
Always does. Well, I live out there. I go out like at 9 in the morning and, well, let me get to, a-holes.
All right.
A-holes.
I like it when you refer to your notes. You made some a-holes and jotted it down. I will talk about them.
So many a-holes. Let me just say, we spent 2 weeks, except for the Broy Hill wedding, we came back from that vacation, in Ocean City, America's finest beach community. And the problem is, we got a place right by the water, and it's a public beach. There's lots of condos and apartments by where we live and anywhere in Ocean City. Well, there are guys, and it's not a female thing, it's a guy thing. And we would sit out on our deck and watch this, where guys would go out at 7 in the morning with the beach umbrella and the chairs, and they would go down and find a good spot right by where the ocean is, plop their stuff down, then leave and go back to their condos, and then come back, in some instances, 3 or 4 hours later,
mm-hmm.
because they're like squatters. They're going out there and they said, yeah, this is my section of the beach.
Yeah, it's kind of it's probably perfectly legit, but it's kind of selfish.
Well,
yeah.
I have many stories about a-holes, but here's the first a-hole story that I have. So it was on, and as a matter of fact, this was on the 4th of July. Not before, not after, but the 4th of July, Friday, temperature 98 degrees, biggest beach day of the year. I go down there about 9:15, relatively early, and there's like 20 people on the beach, but there are all these jerk-offs who have just decided that they're going to plant out their spot.
So it's crowded, and on a crowded beach day, when, you know, you're just going to have so much volume out there, it's kind of an a-hole move that they're blocking the beach for.
Yeah, and let's face it, you go to any beach, much less Ocean City, but I'll just use that because that's where we were. By 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it's wall-to-wall people everywhere. If you walk off the beach, you got to watch where you're walking because you step on somebody. So this guy's got a two chairs and an umbrella. And what I do is I move about 20 feet in front of where he is, and I put out my chair, and I put out a blanket. Not a beach, not a towel, but a blanket, like big enough for my wife and my sister-in-law to lay down on. And I'm just sitting there, reading a book, enjoying myself. I'm down there about an hour and a half, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. And this skinny, emaciated, Ed Harris-looking guy, wearing an Indiana Jones hat, says to me,
"Very nice.
Excuse me, don't you think you're a bit close?" And I turned around and I said, "You're kidding, right?" And he said, "No, I'm not kidding. Look how close your blanket is to where my chairs are." And I said, "Sir," and I always started all of my a-hole conversation by saying, "Sir."
Good.
"Sir, sir."
Right.
"It's a public beach."
Yeah.
I said, "Look around. Everybody's right next to each other." I said, "Not to mention the fact that I guess you're one of those squatters that came down here like at 7 a.m. and thought that because you plopped your umbrella and chairs that no one else was going to sit by you." He said, "I came down at 7:30 and I went back to have breakfast. And now I'm here to enjoy my day on the beach." I said, "3 hours? That must have been a hell of a breakfast." And the guy would not give it up. Now, I'm not looking for this. I'm sitting down there minding my own business. Yeah. The guy said, "I'd appreciate it if you moved the blanket." I said, "I'd appreciate it if you moved the chairs." He said, "We were here first."
Ah, there it is. And that's his whole deal.
Yeah.
He was probably waiting for somebody to come along.
I said, that's a tricky move. "You weren't here first. Your chairs were here." And then he said, "My problem is this. You have your blanket going horizontally."
Horizontally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. "But it should be going vertically."
Right.
I said,
"Oh my God.
Show me in the handbook where it says how I'm supposed to do this." So actually, I got up out of my chair.
I'll show him the handbook.
And I moved the blanket about 6 inches closer to the water to where it was. And I said, "There, how's that?" And he said, "Still very close." And so I just said, "Whatever, dude." And he said, "Whatever, dude." And I'm just sitting there seething.
Yeah, of course.
It's like I'm sitting there going, here's this guy with a goddamn shaved head and a stupid Indiana Jones hat who comes down 3 hours early and then is pissed on a public beach.
Sure.
Because I put... Now, and at one point, after my wife got out there and all the kids got out there, my nephews and then Bart and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and it was just wall-to-wall people. I turned around and looked at him. He's just sitting there kind of surveying his piece of the Ocean City skyline. And I said, "Looks like everybody's kind of packed in right now, huh?" And he did this little move where he just gave me the finger by pushing the bridge of his sunglasses up on his nose.
Oh, God.
So I did what I didn't think I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't approach him. I didn't give him the finger back. I simply got out of my chair, and I walked over to my wife, who was sitting about 2 feet away, and I pointed right at the guy. Now, he's 10 feet away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said real loudly, "Hey, there's the squatter. There's the guy that yelled at me 2.5 hours ago because we were in his spot here on the 4th of July on the most crowded day of the year." And he just flipped me off. Now, meanwhile, and I'm saying this in a very loud voice.
Right.
He's just looking away like he can't even hear me.
Of course,
right.
Yeah. That's what he's...
Like he can't hear me. So that's the first a-hole guy.
And did he leave before you or after you?
No, he left after we did.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the second a-hole guy, which also happened on the 4th of July. This was later in the day, about 4 o'clock. By this time, my whole family has gone in. But I like, you know, I'm out there from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
That's why you have a place there. You dig it.
And I'll tell you later about, I even went surfing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
wow.
I tried. I got up on the board once. But
oh, my God, he's dead.
A lot of work. But I like going in the ocean and doing all that other stuff. Well,
Don Riptide Geronimo.
I'm down there. And now it's starting to weed out because it's the 4th of July and it's like 4:30 in the afternoon and people are leaving. And I've got this deal. I'm sitting right down by the water with my chair and I'm backwards to the ocean. So I got the sun coming right at me. And I'm reading a book. It's James Patterson book, which I think is his best book. This one, the Something House about Kids with Wings. It's a great book. I read it in one day. I'm really just involved in this book and I'm smoking a cigar and... Like, I'm in the time of my life,
all of a sudden, again, I feel the tap on my shoulder. Like, who touches other people on the beach?
Yeah.
Well, a guy comes up and he says, excuse me, would you mind putting that cigar out? And I looked up and there's a pasty guy. And I said,
this?
And he said, yeah, the smoke's kind of blowing over by where we are. Now, keep in mind that at this point, it's not closed quarters like it was earlier. It's a little spread out.
And you are within your legal rights to be smoking a cigar.
Of course I am.
It's not a smoke-free beach. No,
and I said to him, I'm not going to put it out. And he said, go ahead, be obnoxious. And I said to him, hey, I got an idea for you. Why don't you move to Washington, run for Congress, or run for president, and outlaw smoking on the beach? And then I pointed and I said, if you're going to yell at me, how come you're not yelling at that woman who's smoking a cigarette, that guy who's smoking a cigarette, that guy who's smoking a cigar, that guy who's smoking a cigar? And I turned around and I pointed out people behind me and he said, oh, I've already been to speak to all of them.
Wow.
And then I just said, listen, pal, I've had a long day. I'm staying here and smoking my cigar. If it's bothering you, I apologize. But I can't even see where your family is. I'm sitting down by myself with my feet in the water.
Two taps on the shoulder from two a-holes.
So, I then see him walk up to another guy. This guy with a gray hair wearing an orange shirt who's smoking a cigar about 15 yards away from me. I see him walk up to this guy. Tap this guy on the shoulder. This guy gets hot. The guy who's being tapped. And I hear very loudly, if you don't move, I'm going to shove the cigar up your ass.
Hey.
Well, at this point, the guy, Mr. Health Nut, goes running and really running like a girl. With his arms like this, over to the lifeguard. And I hear all of this.
This man threatened me with physical violence.
That's exactly it. The man in the orange shirt threatened me. I want to file a complaint. That man.
So he might be like a little bit of a nut, maybe.
Threatened me. No, I don't think he was a nut. He's just a health nut. just an a-hole. And then as he walked away, all of the people that he had spoken to, we all at once kind of took what
made a cloud at him. All on the same day.
Now, here's another a-hole.
Hey.
Not on the same day, I hope.
No, these are different days. The first night we were there, it was really beautiful. It was not hot and it was not humid. It was like 85. And at about 8:30 at night, I said to Frida, I'm going to walk down by the beach. We're fortunate enough to have a place right on the water. I'm going to walk down to by the beach. And I'm going to go get up in the lifeguard chair. You know, those big high platforms.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to sit up there and just kind of survey what's going on. You know, kind of a way to just chill out.
Right.
Well, now, and again, this only happens to me because I've seen other people do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen kids climbing on these things at night. I've seen people going up there. Guys and girls make it out. I climb up there. I'm sitting there. I'm just kind of surveying it, going, oh, the ocean is very tranquil. From a condo behind me, and again, I swear to God, I hear a whistle. And I ignore it. And I hear again. And I turn around, and there's this old dude on his deck, and he's got his hands cupped around his mouth, and he goes, you, get away from that beach patrol stand. That is for lifeguards only. And I turn around. Now, he's, he's like 500 yards away
from me. Oh, my God.
I said, are you talking to me? I'm like, me?
If you don't get down from that stand, I'm going to report you.
Oh, my God.
And I turn around and I said, report me. Go ahead, report me. And I turned back around and sat and watched the ocean again. And then I hear again.
I have my phone in my hand. I am calling 911.
Oh, my God.
And I know that
I'm sure they'd really like to get that call. Sure.
I know that I exaggerate, but I am not exaggerating about the a-holes that I ran into. So it ended up with me.
This is a guy in your building?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the building. With me standing up.
on this lifeguard, which is about 8 feet in the air, turning around and giving him the double pumper with both hands. I gave him the finger until he finally went inside and closed his curtains.
Wow.
Next a-hole moment.
God.
Next a-hole moment. And this one I'll take partial responsibility for.
Guy with a whistle.
But only partial.
Jesus.
But only partial. Sunday morning, going to 7-Eleven to get milk, get coffee for my wife, and get the newspapers. Everybody's parked very tight. It's very crowded. There's a guy pulls up next to me as I'm walking out of 7-Eleven. I've got a half gallon of milk and some bananas and newspapers and junk under my arms. And I do the beep beep thing so the door opens up. And I'm very careful. I'm sliding this because there's not much room. And I got a big four-wheel drive, and this guy had a regular little compact car. And as I opened my door, and with God as my witness on my kid's life, this is how loudly my car tapped his.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Again, let me turn this up so you can hear it. That hard. And the guy's got both windows down, and he goes, this is Sunday morning. He goes, God damn it! And I leaned inside because I could see him, and I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry. It didn't do any damage. The cars are very close here. It didn't do any damage. I'm sorry. And the guy goes, again, God damn it! I mean, I swear on my kid's life, I'm not exaggerating one iota. So I get in my car and I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna let it go. The guy jumps out of his car and goes over to the side of his little prefab, whatever it is, and he looks at it and he's giving it the once over. Now, and by now I'm sitting in the driver's seat of my car, and I said, see, I told you, no damage, but you know. I'm sorry.
Don't you think in situations like that where if it was the movies or if you could just lose total control, then you'd open it and like about 18 times as hard as you could just jam your door into his.
Okay. So I say to him one more time, hey, I'm sorry. You know, dude, I'm sorry, but it did no damage. And as he walks towards the front door of 7-Eleven, you know, I got a Clemson sticker in my car because my kid's going to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing he does. He looks at me and he goes, real loud as he's walking into 7-Eleven, Clemson, it figures. And that's when I lost it.
Sure.
And I jumped out of the car and I said, hey, F you, pal. And he said, it figures. I said, I'm scratching my head. Going, there have been so many jerk-offs on this vacation.
Did you like try to decipher a list of Clemson rivalries that he?
No, he just must have been a Maryland guy, and it was just like he's looking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fighting the urge to say, gee, I hope I didn't scratch your Kia, you know, with my Escalade, you ass. But I'm not saying this. Right. Okay, I'll let it go.
Or simply like 15 or 16 times, slam your door into his.
But then the worst one was yesterday. I'm coming back from the beach, and Frieda and I had been watching this guy who had parked across the street from our building, a surfer dude, a guy about 18 years old, 18 or 19. And he had a red pickup, and I hope he's listening today. Red pickup with Delaware tags.
Right.
Had a surfboard in the back, and as he was getting out of the car, he had the radio turned up all the way to some Linkin Park song.
Mm.
And he was drinking his Gatorade and just singing very loudly at 9 in the morning. Like, you don't own me. Nobody tell me what to do. F the world. F the world. I want to F the world. And we're just both standing on the deck looking at this guy. And he's looking at us and other people are looking at him. But it's like, it's part of the show. So you don't say anything about it. I go down to the beach or come back about noon to have my, you know, stupid GNC shake.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm making my way back 3 hours later, I notice the same surfer dude. What he's done is we have a pool in our place in Ocean City. Buzz is in this place.
Yeah.
And it's got a big, gigantic gate.
Right.
It's got a padlock and the chain link, thing around it. Well, the guy casually walks up, looks around, jumps the fence, and hops in the pool. And now I'm walking up from the beach, and I see this, and I go, hey,
He doesn't even acknowledge this.
Right.
And I go, hey, yo! Yo! And he doesn't acknowledge it. So now I run up a little bit, and he's standing by his car, and again he's got the music on, and I'm trying not to sound like an old fart here, but he's got the music blaring, he's just singing to it, and I go, hey, man, you know, that's private property. You know, you jumped the fence and jumped into my pool, and I swear to God, here's what the guy says to me. He goes, listen, man, whatever you say is never going to penetrate my skull, so don't even waste your time. Just have a good vacation and get the F out of my face. Now, after the guy on the beach.
Yeah. And at the end of the vacation.
After the no smoking guy. After the guy at 7-Eleven. After the guy who whistled at me for sitting in the beach chair. I'm losing it. And I said to the guy, who do you think you're effing with? And he's just going, oh, my mama told me that there would be some bad man coming in to talk to me. You know, he's singing.
Right.
So, as he gets into his car, I'm about to let it go. As he's backing out, he looks up and he gives me the finger. So what I do is, I lean over and I put both hands on the hood of his car, and I go, hey, what the F do you think you're doing? I'm not a renter. I live here. And he goes, I don't give an F, man. Get your effing hands off my effing car. I said, stay out of my effing pool. Because by now, I've moved over to the driver's door, and I've got my hands on the driver's door. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not a violent person.
Suddenly, he produces a weapon.
But this kid's just pissed me off
right.
with this whole singing and this whole, you know, you can't tell me. And then the thing.
That's when you just want to, don't you want to be Tony Soprano for a second?
Yeah. He just goes, dude, whatever you say will never penetrate my skull, man. So just have a good vacation and lighten up. Well, I got my hands on both sides of the door, of the passenger door of his car, and I said, listen, pal, I want to tell you something. Stay the F away. You don't know who you're effing with. And he says, I'm going to effing run you over. And he takes off.
Right.
And, I mean, there's a real actual skid. Mm-hmm. And he gets down to the end of the street and gets out of his car. Flips me off and turns the corner and drives away like 50 miles an hour.
Unbelievable.
So many a-holes.
And you didn't give chase.
No, I didn't, because, you know, what am I going to do?
Right.
Get in my car and chase some kid.
I hate laws like that.
You know, and the thing is, it's just so many. I wish we could say the word, because I can say the word ass.
Right.
And I can say that that's a manhole outside, but I can't say the words yet. But there are just so many a-holes in the world, and I was not trying to bother anybody. I was trying to stay the F out of their way.
Right.
I just wanted some peace and quiet. But from the guy sitting in the beach chair blowing the whistle, the guy at 7-Eleven, the no-smoking guy, the dick with the Indiana Jones hat, the surfer dude, I really was ready to kill somebody.
Right.
I was really out of my friggin' mind.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah. Welcome Jesus back. Christ.
Has it gotten worse since you've been going down there?
Yeah.
I mean, did you notice the maybe, you know, just society's going more and more nuts?
Well, I think I was, you know.
Lack of civility.
And I did a lot of thinking about it. I guess the fact that the weather was so bad and
right.
people, you know, it's like now it's suddenly nice and
sure.
people want to get it out of the system. But, and then you know, then, well, I get into it in a second because I got more. I mean, I got some good stuff, but I got.
You know, really what would eliminate a lot of this behavior, though, like
so good.
The behavior about people blowing whistles. If they brought back just an old custom, and I think it would work. Dueling.
Yeah.
Dueling with pistols. I mean, really, people, you know, if you knew, really, the random people that tap people on the shoulder and the people that blow whistles and people that just act obnoxious and jump into pools, if there was dueling, and they knew that if they happened to catch the wrong guy, there would be a perfectly legal battle with pistols, they probably wouldn't do it.
Well, you know, and I was trying all my intimidation on this surfer guy. I said, do you know who you're effing with?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, somebody won't get his effing hands off my effing car.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, the music is just blaring at a level that I can't even understand, and he's, you know, drinking his Mountain Dew and just think he's, you know. At one point I said, what do you think you are, like Justin Timberlake or something? Look at you. What's going on with you? You know, you punk.
Get out of the car, dick!
I think from now on you should carry a bat. Not to use it, just to have it on hand.
Yeah. Anyway.
They sound like...
all the a-holes I ran into. and there were other a-holes at, like, at the movies, but that's, you know, that's to be expected 4th of July week.
Of all of them, who was the guy that you would most like to, no, I can only put it one way, kill?
The squatter.
The squatter, yeah. He sounds like the biggest.
The squatter.
Not the surfer, but the squatter.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Surfer be number two?
Yeah. But the squatter was... A little close, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little close? Hello! It's a public beach, ass!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very proud. I didn't use that word except with the last guy.
Mm-hmm.
With the very last guy.
Might be time for a blanket BM.
What?
A blanket BM.
You mean where I take one on their blanket?
That's where you use a blanket that you never want to use again. You, pretend even if it's hot, like you're wrapping the blanket over your legs. And then you slide it a little closer to him. You do your business, fold it up, and then just leave it right next to him.
Yeah, Don's
kind of like a beach version of an upper decker.
Don's turn to squat.
Right.
All right, we'll be back. It's not all bad. That was the a-hole.
Is it illegal to BM on the beach?
A couple of years ago, I saw like some Iranian kid doing it.
Really?
And his mom and dad, who were wearing the what do you call those things? The
turbans?
The burqa? The
burqa.
The burqa.
The burqas.
They were watching happily as a little child just went down by the water and defecated. Okay, good parenting.
Maybe it was a form of protest. Yeah.
Much like the parents of Charlie's Angel too. Which was just such a waste of time. I shouldn't have gone anyway. But
shocking, really?
The stupid little four-year-old who, didn't like the scene where, go figure, there's a scene where they're torturing a guy.
Yeah.
And they actually get a rat. They put a rat on this guy's stomach, and they put a paint can on top of it.
Yeah.
And they get one of those burning torches.
Right.
And they say, the hotter that it gets in the can,
right,
the rat will not be able to stand the heat, and eventually will start to chew his way out through your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't actually show this. Mm-hmm. They just show the guy going, I'll do what you want. Or maybe this was the Fast and the Furious. I don't know. There was something like that.
You told that story before.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was in Charlie's Angels, there was something similar where something bad was happening. And a little four-year-old was saying, I don't like this. I don't know. Right, but I don't like this. And the dad, instead of just saying, turn your eyes or I'll take you outside. The dad started explaining to the kid what was happening.
Hmm.
Well, no, you see now, he's a very bad man. And he's bothered Drew Barrymore. And that's why she's going to have to kick him and he's going to have to fall off the roof.
That's PG-13, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
It is. This is
great parenting. Yeah, you don't have a license.
Too many a-holes out there.
I have one question for you, Buzz. You didn't color your hair. Is that just by the sun?
No, just swimming and out in the sun.
Doesn't Buzz look different?
Chlorine and sunshine.
Damn sexy, I think. Thank you.
He looks like a different guy.
He's
got a lot of color. Look at me.
It's longer. His hair is longer.
Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. You didn't dye your hair?
Mm-mm.
Like a disc jockey I know who I ran into who happens to be a neighbor of mine?
No.
In Ocean City?
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you when we come back.
Interesting.
Okay? All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead. It's Red, Director of Guest Happiness for Red Roof Inns, and I've completely redone the place. We're talking major transformation here, a whole new look, and best of all, brand new 25-inch TVs. But without a Primo entertainment package, that big TV is just an expensive paperweight. So you get premium cable, pay-per-view, and video games.
Red Roof's great for catching these.
Or sitting on your butt watching big TVs. But if you still insist on working, there are data ports and stuff, and new workspaces, so you can get all your work done, and you'll have more time for TV, movies, and video games. Seriously, check out the changes we've made. You won't even recognize the place, except for the big red roof. That's a dead giveaway. Just call 1-800-RED-ROOF.
Stay at Red Roof when you get the chance.
Have more cash left in your khaki pants.
Select
Red Roof Inn and Accor Hotel.
Why'd I get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass! And you got your head all the way up it!
Jesus.
Ferocious, aren't I? When I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
You'll laugh till you crap your pants. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, we're back. We're live. It's great to be back. We know Barry White is dead, but nobody. Epson is dead. We'll do our tributes to them on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
We've got just too much to get to today. Let me put in a call. I can't turn it off. I can't concentrate.
Guys.
That is the case.
Mike is always changing her cell phone number. I never remember what it is.
Mm. Why does she keep doing that?
She changes from plan to plan.
Yes.
You know, they call all the time.
That's another thing I'm ready to do after my vacation is change my phone.
When she changes it, does she tell you the new number? No, I just sit around for hours, Rob.
Dialing
what I think will be the right number.
Hello?
Oh, there she is.
Voila.
Hello, darling.
Julia, I'm in a bad cell. Hello, my sweetheart. Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
I missed you.
Listen, let's start, because I know you're in a bad cell. Let's start with the update. Robbie, I need a timpani here.
You got it.
Because I said I wanted sex on demand. We were gone for 2 weeks.
Right.
I counted. My wife and I. And I know a lot of you people around the country in betting pools are going to lose money.
Right.
Please don't feel badly. I'm going to give you a way to maybe get your money back. I only slipped my wife the baloney pony 4 times.
That's still not bad.
Wow.
We just have too many family members around all the time.
I see.
Too many kids.
Yeah.
Too many other people.
That's not true. That's not true. You turned me down. And even the night everybody left, I said, tonight, you know, will be our time. You said, I'll just think about work tomorrow.
Well, listen, here's the thing, incidentally, I did perform last night. Hello?
I think she's in a bad cell.
She's gone. Just as well. here's the thing. She doesn't want me to talk badly about her family, and I'm not going to, because, as I mentioned, you know, my house is a hotel. Let them all come.
You had a lot of family togetherness.
I'm glad to have them all around. The thing is that I had thought, before I knew that there would always be somebody around,
right,
there would be just my wife and I, and that pretty much it would be sex on demand.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the...
And I know you like your spontaneity. Some might say, well, just go into the boudoir and lock the door, but you like the living room, the...
Yeah, you come off the
stairs, you know.
And I sit there and look at her in a bathing suit for 3 hours. And
right.
Like, I want some of that.
You're ready to go.
You get inside, and she, you know, there's always an excuse. No, I'm sandy now. No,
right.
No, the kids are downstairs. You know, oh, my sister's coming over. No, I want to...
The beach is a place. I mean, this is no secret that gets you all sexed up.
Yeah.
So... I did only give her the high hard one 4 times.
Right.
But I got my jerk on 10 times. So effectively...
That's not going to count in the betting pools.
I know it's not. I'm just telling you, if you want it to be like a Roger Maris thing with an asterisk by it...
Right.
I did service myself 10 times, but my wife only 4 times. And part of the problem is that she gets with her sister, Robin, and... They start discussing sex, and it starts being a good discussion, where my brother-in-law, Bill, is there, where they're
kind of erotic.
No, not so much erotic, much more nuts and bolts, if you pardon the pun, where we're talking about the actual times that we'd like to have sex with our wives.
Much more twigs and berries.
And we come up with the time, because, like I said to Frida, here's the deal with Frida. She would have had sex with me every day, but I would have had to wait till 11:30 at night.
Right.
Until all the kids were asleep, until everybody else was downstairs, until she was done doing what she's doing. But that time, I'm beat-ass tired.
Right.
You can't...
She wouldn't go for an afternooner?
No. The time that was decided was between 9 and 10 p.m.
Hmm.
That was going to be... Or between 10 and 11 p.m. was going to be the acceptable time for me to approach my wife... For her to fulfill her marital obligation, which is really all I ask of her. I don't ask her to cook. I don't ask her to clean. You know, she does that stuff. But all I really ask is...
You wanted sex on demand, and she had kind of agreed to it.
Yeah. A couple of times, just, you know, take care of me.
But it's really, it sounds like it's really not her fault. It's the fact that you had family around all the
time. Yeah, and the thing is, she gets with her family, and then, like, even yesterday with her mom, here's where I don't want sex, and Frida was absolutely right. Like when, after... my sister-in-law and her kids left yesterday, and my kid left. My mother-in-law came down for a while, and then that was nice. She came to the beach with us, and she had dinner.
Right.
And my mother-in-law said, well, I think I'm going to leave because you two probably need a little time together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's being nice, but yeah. It puts undue pressure on me where my wife imagines, and this is just the way that I read it. My wife imagines that she's going to be with Fabio, that there's going to be candlelight, and there's going to be long periods of...
So is your mother-in-law in a way saying, you two need to have sex? I mean, is that what you got from reading between the lines?
Well, no, she was... She
you
said,
two kids go have sex.
She said you probably need some time together, and the problem that I had with Frida was that... You know, listen, I don't have a lot of stamina. I really don't. I mean, I can go 5 minutes, maybe.
Well, technically, the sex on demand is your demand, I believe.
Yeah, and, you know, and she, I don't want to get graphic here, but she screws it up, pun intended, that, you know, she does stuff, and she starts doing stuff, and when we're doing it, and I say, you better stop that, or, like, this train's going to come into the station right now.
Oh, I understand.
But she does it anyway, so... My worry is that...
What did she do? Was there tickling?
Yeah. The thing is... Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's nice, but I said...
So a little bit of that, maybe a little...
I said, all you... No. Never. Mike, never. Never there. But I tell her, all you're doing is speeding up the process. And then my worry is that because she has this talk with her sister-in-law about... You know, that we're going to have set times for sex. We're going to set aside an hour. You know, I didn't say this, but what I really wanted to say was, we don't have to set aside an hour.
Set aside 10 minutes.
5 minutes. You know, give me some time to build up some stamina.
Right, and no tickling.
But right now, if it's just going to be sex, like at 11:30 at night or whatever.
Without any playing with the ornaments on the Christmas tree.
Let's make it happen and let's do it. But anyway, it was only four times. And
What could she do, just out of idle curiosity, that would prolong the experience? I mean, obviously, you say things
nothing.
Like, think about baseball.
There's nothing
play
she
dead.
Could do.
She couldn't make...
The only thing that she could do... The only thing that she could
hey, that's
do...
A turn on for some people.
Yeah, I know.
That's horrible.
Hi, Buzz.
I said play.
The only thing that she could do that would make it so I could last longer would be to do it more.
How about funny faces?
No, come on. I can't get it up. I can't get it up if she's making a funny face.
Well, I was referring to the fact that you already right. were.
But for instance, the thing is... Oh, you mean like with my... Like guys having sex, those faces.
Yeah.
The thing is, like when she would turn me down early in the day, she didn't even know this. I would just go upstairs, lock the bedroom door, and I mean, like 90 seconds?
Right.
I'm done. I'm done. I've completed
the act. And
that's
after you've been on the beach.
Yeah.
All sexed up on the beach.
Okay, well, she said no.
You didn't mention that. How was the beach for the view, if you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I think about.
Well, there's lots of hot girls, and then there's lots of really, you know, and listen, I had a lot of people tell me, boy, you look great with all this weight you lost.
Right.
I'm still fat.
Right.
Even though I lost 65 pounds, I'm still fat.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are seriously fat, though.
Yeah.
Like these fat chicks, like 400-pounders, wearing bikinis.
Wow.
Should not wear bikinis. There was this one broad on the beach.
If they're that fat, you can't see the bikini.
There was one broad on the beach that was so fat. It was one of those days. Well, no, hold on, Rob. It's not a joke. It's a true story.
Oh, okay.
It was high tide. So it was that deal where you walked into the water, and you walked in like 2 feet, and all of a sudden there was a drop.
She cut a foot on a clam, and gravy came out.
7 feet. She was trying to walk out of the ocean at the shallow end, and she got stuck.
Oh.
And she had these big, freaking tree trunk ham hock legs.
Right.
And it took 7 guys to go down to the beach, including a lifeguard. And all these guys off the beach were
jumping. Was the tide rising at the time?
Yeah, we're pulling this fat broad out of the water.
Wow.
And it was just, you know. And
you know, there are guys that get turned on by that.
Well, there
are magazines that are dedicated.
As it turns out, her husband, when he finally woke up and saw that his wife was drowning in 1 foot of water, came down. And as usual as
this... Yeah, well, you don't know, is he was pretending to sleep.
With these incredibly obese women, the husbands are always so skinny.
Yes, that is a very strange phenomenon.
So incredibly micro-skinny, but that's a story with the sex. I only I only hit that thing four times.
And I don't want to get in trouble here, but I live vicariously through you sometimes when you're at the beach. I'm curious, did you have any that were like stunners? You know, that you just, you mentioned, I believe it might have been last year, that you had your mirrored sunglasses on.
There were,
and there was one woman you stared at for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, there were a couple like that. And I got busted at one point when Fred and I were just standing by the water, and we were just, you know, having a romantic moment. And I thought I was being discreet, and she said, "I know what you're doing," and I turned to it. What, darling? What am I doing? She said, "You're staring right at that girl's teats."
Staring.
And there was a girl, a really ugly girl, like almost disfigured in the face, ugly, but just with big, huge, gigantic knockers. And you can't avoid them.
With a nice little bikini on.
And I know that this is going to gross you out, but the woman I spent the most time looking at on the beach was a new mother, and she wasn't breastfeeding on the beach.
Right.
But the TD Fairy came to see her, and her boobs were so gigantic.
Right.
This broad was always having to push them back inside.
That doesn't gross me out. If you had said, soon to be a new mother, that would have been, now you would have gotten me on that one.
I must have spent really an hour just, and I was praying that she was not going to figure out I'm staring at her, and hoping that, against hope, that for whatever reason she was going to have to turn and face me and drop something in the sand so I could get a look at him.
And then the bounty would be unleashed.
But I would just look at him from the side. Oh, God, they're hot. And I get hot looking at my wife on the beach.
That's good.
You know, sometimes I say to her, "Wow, you're really hot." And she goes, "Oh, thank you, boo-boo." You know, the correct response, incidentally, is when I say, "You're really hot," the correct response for any of you prospective wives is, "Oh, thank you. Let's go upstairs and bone."
Yeah.
You know, not the...
And that, literally those words, yeah.
And I get the pat on the hand that, "Oh,
that's sweet." Or she could change around by looking and going, "It's boning time."
You're sweet. I'm glad you love me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the sex was nice, but it wasn't as much as I had wanted. Now, listen, it's not all negative, because I had a very good time with all the family members there with my wife. And I got a shout out for a couple of places in Ocean City. This would crack you up, Mike.
You always come back with some new entities that you enjoy, or old ones that you've never met.
There was a place that I talked about called Iguana Surf, which is on 127th Street.
Hi.
And we went in there for dinner the first night we were there. And we go and we sit down.
Now, is this a restaurant run by an older disc jockey that serves lizards?
No, it has nothing to do with surf.
Okay.
But you go in the restaurant, and I didn't want to save this because it was like be gay to save it, but you go in the restaurant, and it has Iguana Surf on the top of it, and then it has all of the entrees, and on the bottom it says, "We love Don and Mike."
Really?
So we're sitting in this restaurant, and my wife notices. Now, I mentioned them like one time on the show.
Mm-hmm. She put us on the menu?
Yeah, and right as the waitress is coming by, Frida says real loudly, she goes, "Oh, look! It says we love Don and Mike." And I never say this to my wife, but I said, "Shut up." And that was like the huge mistake to tell her to shut up. I said, shut up. You know, low key. Yeah. You know, it was nice, but it was like embarrassing nice. So anyway, a nice shout out to
them. Was she pointing at you when she said it?
No, but there's like four people in the restaurant.
Right, and you want to be subtle about it.
And she goes, "Oh, look, hey, we love Don and Mike." Shut up.
It's you.
It's you. I'm pointing at you.
So we went there, and then we went to another place. We like Tequila Mockingbird. And we go in there.
I dig the names down there.
We're having a nice meal in this place, and I get up to go take a leak, and I come back, and Frida goes, "The owner came by and wants to buy us some drinks." I said, "Well, that's nice." She said, "You know how you knew it was you?" And I said, "I have no idea." She said, "Because he saw your Green Bay Packers socks."
Forgive her.
That's nutty.
That's cool.
That's nutty. So Iguana Surf, thank you. Mm-hmm. They've still got our names on the menu.
Cool.
This Tequila Mockingbird. But the best one of all, the greatest thing about being the king of Ocean City.
Going out to dinner with a stallion?
Oh, no. You know what? I missed him.
Oh.
I wasn't able to get on his cable access show because what am I going to do? It's not like you can look at the phone book and go, let me see, stallion?
Where will the stallion be? Like the cable company.
Right? I didn't do it. But the best thing in the world was I went in GNC to get some of these EAS shakes that I like. And the guy that was working behind the counter, as soon as I walk in, he goes, "Hey,
Don and Mike show, right? And I said, yeah, how you doing? And he said, boy, I hear you complaining all the time about gold cards. Because every time you go into a GNC,
the pain in the ass.
You can't just buy your vitamins or your
right.
Mixes. They got to say, you know, do you realize if you joined, it's like going into Borders or something.
Yeah, why don't you join? Everybody gets their vitamins there. Why don't they just give you a discount to start with?
You realize if you joined today, you'd say, he said, man, I hear you saying that, and I'm not going to name this guy's name, but he said to me, it's so funny, he said, I hate doing that, because people get really pissed off.
Yeah.
He said, but I really love your show, and I like the fact you're in here all the time. And the next thing he knows, he goes under the little scanner, he goes, beep-doop. He goes, here's a gold card for you. And I said, well, don't I have to pay for this? And he said, I tell him I lost it.
There you go.
So yeah. I got a free gold card.
Yeah, yeah.
GNC, so now when they give me the hard time, I'll just give it to them and
just keep it. And I have one somewhere.
Get the money off. But anyway, there's a lot of very, very nice people in Ocean City. I did so much stuff with my wife. I am just amazed that I didn't get laid more than I did.
Yeah.
My wife compulsively bike rides. When we're down there, I actually said to her one night, "There's this thing called the horseless carriage." And it was invented by Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go somewhere, we get into it, and it has this thing called air conditioning, and I'll drive you wherever you want to go.
There is nothing quite like the combustion engine.
My wife has got this thing about,
thank you, Rob,
about bicycles, that when we're at the beach, she likes biking. And she doesn't just like biking across the street to Highs or to 7-Eleven. She bikes like, and I am not exaggerating, 80 blocks.
Wow.
One way.
You know what you got to get her into? Ultralights.
What's that?
Those, like, hang gliders that have engines on them?
Well,
that'll get you to the tequila Mockingbird quickly.
She's nuts about this bike thing. So she says to me, you never bike anywhere with me. So we bike to the bookstore together. Then we bike to dinner together. And on the 4th of July, she rented for herself and her sister a bicycle built for two.
Mm.
Hey.
I've seen those at the beach.
If you don't think that these two like look like the biggest tards, and my poor sister-in-law Robin was on the back of this saying, I have no control over where we're steering,
right.
Any braking.
She's basically just the fuel.
Yeah, right. And Freddie would just say, pedal faster. Pedal faster. So I did all this.
Did you ever get on a bicycle built for two with her?
I would not.
Right.
I refused. I went on my own bike. So I go on the bike with her. We play Password.
Right.
You know, I hate games. We sat out on the deck. It was my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my wife and I on the 4th of July. And we sat on the deck, we played Password, and after about 10 minutes, I would get bored, and I would just guess what the word is, like out of turn.
Yeah. You know, you're impatient for games, they take too long.
Yeah, and the problem is that they didn't have one of those sundial things that you turn up and down to let you know how long you have.
Right.
So like my wife, or Robin, or Bill, or even myself, you get it, and you go, well, that's a tough word. You got to sit there for 5 minutes while the moron, you know, myself included, is figuring out how to...
The Password is tedious.
So we played Password. I can't think of anything I didn't do. We got a surfboard. My wife says to me, I want you to go out and try to surf.
She just went and bought you a surfboard? To...
Well, she got it for the all the kids. And
so, that's a little... There's an outside... I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but there's an outside chance she's trying to kill you.
Well, yeah, I strapped the thing to my leg.
You put your little ankle thing around?
Yeah. I go out in the ocean. I'm out there in the freaking high waves. And I got as close as...
Did you even get up on it?
Yeah, no. I got up on it
right.
On my knees.
Yeah.
And the deal is you're supposed to push yourself up with your hands and stand up. And I got on my knees twice, but it was time to stand up both times. It was like, whoops, the thing goes out from underneath me. And I'm doing all of this just to make her happy. You know?
You never stood up in the hung ten?
No, and I defy you to try it in one day and master it. It's impossible. I found it hard enough to get on the goddamn thing and paddle it out.
I'm coming from Maine where you don't get on your boat at a dock. You have to row out to it in a dinghy. And my dinghy was inflatable. So, I couldn't even get into that thing, so I wouldn't be able to handle a surfboard.
So I'm figuring I've done all these things.
Would you try it again? Would you try the surfing again?
Oh, we got it. Like everything with my wife, we didn't rent it, we bought it.
It's cool.
We bought the surfboard, so I'm ready for this. Now I'm thinking, What can possibly go wrong?
Has anyone had any instruction? I mean, it's not something that you...
My nephews had a lesson.
Really?
And then my nephews, who are going to be 14 soon, they passed on the instructions to us.
Okay.
Are you keeping the surfboard near the kayaks that she bought?
Now, here's where it goes downhill. Oh. This is now... We had a crash and burn on the 4th of July. We had a really...
What was all the a-holes?
No. Yeah. No. We had a really, really big fight on the 4th of July. We were down on the beach, and I don't know how we got on the topic of, you know, how we got a break.
And you also said, reveal.
All right. When we come back, this will be my last thing.
We have to wait.
We got a break, but I'll tell you.
Is Jackie that dyed his hair?
the fight, the 4th of July... In the gutter.
I have a guess, incidentally, on the disc jockey. I'll write down the name.
All right, write it down. He's a good guy. He's a good friend. Write it down. Who do you think it is? Yeah. Yeah, all you right. Nailed it. You nailed it.
Not the first time the hair has changed colors.
Hold on. Robbie, I know we got to go to break. This guy says he saw us fight.
Excellent.
That's impossible. Warren?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, where were you? What street were you on?
135th. I'm the guy that introduced himself to you the day I sat down next to you. We talked a little real estate. We talked about neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy with the gray beard.
Yeah, with the gray beard, right.
Great.
I also witnessed your squatters event.
Oh, wow, this is great.
I was right next to you when that thing went off. Holy smokes.
Well, now, was that guy or was that guy not an a-hole? I mean,
yeah, he was. What you had done probably, in his mind, had broken what was in the street that you live on, some sort of beach etiquette, in which the high tide mark is the ocean's edge, and he put his stuff, 10 feet from it?
Yeah.
And you sat between him, the high tide mark, and him. So when he came down later and saw you sitting there, I mean, this guy lives in our building. I'm in the big white building next to yours.
Right.
Yeah, and you just broke etiquette, that's all. And I watched you, man. You... You were steaming, man.
Well, see, there you go. There's some of that. And here's one of the people that I met,
right,
who was not an a-hole.
Hey, it sounds like you had a nice time with him.
And was a very nice guy and came over and chatted. And,
right.
You know, I mean, the guy sat down and we talked about everything at the beach. And then my family came up and he said, I'll get out of your way. And
Right.
I didn't want to take up your time with your family.
No, you couldn't have been nicer. It was very nice meeting you. But thank you for substantiating the squatter stuff.
Yeah, that definitely went off. I also saw the little episode with you and Frida. And I don't know if you want to talk about that. I didn't overhear it because I don't listen into people's conversation. But when she got up, man... It's a good thing your private parts weren't near that chair, because she snapped that thing shut fast.
Oh, I had to go run after her.
I watched you do that. You moved very quickly for a large man.
Good thing I lost some weight, because, I mean, I had to haul ass to run. You know let me just say, I don't know that I was necessarily wrong, but the argument went so terribly bad that she just picked up her chair and said, I'm leaving, and by the time she got up by where you leave the beach, she was like, 50 yards away, I had
snap the chair together.
I had to get up and run up there and say, please come back.
Yeah, I was on the dune crossing when you caught up to her. You were being very solicitous, and whatever you said, you changed her mind because she went back with you.
Hey, there you go. That's a pretty good recap by this guy.
I'm going to kiss an ass. All right, I'll see you next time we're down there.
All right, take care, Don.
All right, thank you, my friend.
That's pretty funny.
See, not everybody I met was an
asshole. No, he came across as a good guy over the phone. It's pretty funny, though.
All right, I just got one more thing here, and then we got to talk about the wedding, for God's sake.
I'm dying to hear about it, because I wasn't there.
And let me tell you about the argument, and then the other argument, and then the disc jockey, and then the wedding. Okay, and we still got $1,000 to give away, too.
Fantastic.
You listen to all the best of last week. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's why the boss has sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
You find this amusing, Frida.
It relaxes and centers you. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, listen, we're back. We're live. Glad to be back from our vacation. We'll do our Barry White, He's Dead show. Also, the Buddy Ebsen, He's Dead show. That'll be tomorrow. This week in studio,
Mike never banged her in high school. Candace Bushnell.
Yeah, don't call her Candy. That's what I called her in high school.
From Sex and the City, and also Mick Foley's coming this week. Mankind.
All right.
And, on a personal note, gigantic a-hole Joel Hollander is coming in.
Really?
I don't think he's coming to be on the show, but he's coming, I think, to yell at us.
Oh, really?
He's an Infinity guy.
Wow.
Good guy.
I think he's coming in to yell at us.
All right.
So the...
hey, something to look forward to.
The weekend. Or the vacation. He, you know, I'm giving you the good and then the bad. I generally was good. Had a generally good time with all of my extended family, and even my kid was manageable. And my wife and I got along very well, except for one day. And that was... we had two giant arguments on one day on the 4th of July.
I know what.
Well, Robbie?
There was fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks. That threw off Spank. The first one is the one that guy that just called in her.
Right.
Where we're sitting on the beach, and we're just having a discussion about I don't know what. And, you know, my son is getting ready to go to Clemson. He's going to enroll there in a couple of months, be a freshman. And my wife went there. And I guess they were talking about going through an old college, a yearbook or something. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when she was at Clemson, she had a boyfriend, Sam. I think we have talked about him before.
Right.
Guy does, TV, sports down in Jacksonville. You know, nice career. So, well, I got a little bit of an attitude with this guy.
Understandable.
So they're talking about this, and Frieda says, oh, and there was a picture of Sam and I, and Bart wanted to know more about him, so I did a Google search on him, and we went to his website and saw how he looks now.
This is your wife who did this?
Yeah, and I really... No, he didn't look like this, Rob.
This is Sam Huff.
Oh, different Sam.
I went ballistic on the beach. I said, wait a minute. You did a website search on a guy that you dated like 30 years ago? I said, hello, Jethro Tull, living in the past. I said, that's a little sick. And she said, it's not sick at all. And I said, you're looking at pictures in the yearbook with our son, and I get that because you went to the same college.
Right.
You're showing him what it was like when you were there. But then he sees the picture of you and the guy, and rather than just say, oh, that's, you know, the dip-ass guy that I was dating at the time, no, you have to say, well, let's see what he's doing today.
Oh, dear, yeah, I don't blame you there.
And I got just all foamy at the mouth, and I said, if the situation was reversed,
right,
you would be pissed at me. And she said, well, that would never happen. I said, that's right. She said, because you have no friends. And I said, no, I have friends.
Oh, no.
And there are girls,
was this on the beach that this was going on?
Yeah, and there are girls that I knew before I married my wife, and one of them, I mentioned one of them, I said, who works at WHFS? I said, about 2 years ago, Sandy Sue got this job at WHFS, and somebody gave me her business card.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be goddamn if I'm going to call her up. I mean, I don't mean any offense to her, but it's like, I knew this girl 25 years ago. What have I got to say to her now? Anyway, I just found the whole thing odd. She said, there was nothing meant by it, nothing inferred. I just wanted to show Bart. I said, show Bart who his father could have been?
Really? I'm thinking the same thing.
No, and then I started going through my mind with all the other stuff, thinking, well, gee, imagine how it would have been if you would have ended up with the great, wonderful Sam. Why, you'd be the queen of Jacksonville right now. Imagine that. You could walk around and say, my husband is the sports reporter on Jacksonville's Action News 7. You know, I said, and maybe you do...
Did you go to the website yourself?
No.
Okay, I was just curious.
And maybe you do a Google search on me one day when you were sitting around going, oh, this was a guy that was nice. I said, the whole thing is ridiculous. It's freaking sick. And then she got mad, and she said, you're overreacting. And I said, I'm not overreacting. I said, I'm pissed. It's nuts. She said, it's a part of my past.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let it go. Then let it be in your past. And then she said, well, there's no talking to you. And at that point, she did just pick up her chair and just started to walk off. And I sat there, and I thought, F you. Then I thought, no, if I don't do something now, this is going to cascade. This is going to start to grow hair.
That's right.
So I jumped up and
Was this what the guy saw?
Yeah.
Okay.
I jumped up and ran over to where she was and, you know, goes, don't leave. She said, I don't have anything to say to you. Mm-hmm. I said, just come back. And, you know, when you're married for a long time, you got to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's humiliating. It's so effing humiliating.
You have to crawl a little bit.
You know, that I said, okay, you know, maybe I overreacted a little bit to those whole, but I think it's freaking nuts. Maybe I
it's only because you love her and you're a little jealous, and that's understandable.
I only overreacted. Come on back.
I mean, does she understand? Doesn't she understand that you would be jealous about that? I mean, who wouldn't be?
So I get down, I get her back down there.
How did he look, incidentally? Did you ever see a picture of him?
No, everything I've seen from, like, old college yearbooks, he's a goofy-looking guy. I mean, I tell you, if he was, like, Clooney-ish or anything, he's just a goofy-looking guy. So we get past that, and you know, she's sitting down there, and I'm, like, having to say over and over again, you just don't understand that I, you know, I wouldn't go looking for people on the internet, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, what about Dawn? You know, my first wife I was married to for 5 minutes. I said, she could fall off a cliff. And I swear to Christ, I wouldn't send an email or do a search. If anything, I'd do a little jig problem. She said, that's just the difference between you and me.
Oh, God.
You know, and then I got into the whole thing, you know, well, I guess, well, I'm not sweet like Sam is. She said, well, I don't know. Sam probably wouldn't be upset if I was looking you up on the web.
Oh, wow.
Well, maybe you made the wrong decision then all along. Maybe you'd like to reconsider your
life. Glad it's not spiraling.
And, you know, move on then. No, this is how it all happened.
Oh, gosh. You're recapping then.
Yeah.
And then how was it after you caught back up to her?
Then I had to go up and had really suck ass and say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm stupid, you know. I stole Rudy's line. I said, you know, Jesus Christ, it's a compliment. You know, just be, you know, be happy I'm upset about it. So she, I said, please, now please come back down. Please. And then I said, yeah, people saw us arguing. Please, please come back down. There's evidence by that guy that called it.
Yeah, and obviously whatever you said got her to, what was the key that got her to turn around? And
I said like a million times, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm a dope. Yeah, come on back. So she goes back down, and everything is fine. And this now we're moving to the last part of this, the night of the 4th of July. And I've maintained that we don't have to go to Northside Park to see the fireworks. That if we simply sit on the beach in front of the building we live in, that the fireworks go so high in the sky, you're going to be able to see them. Well, while we were debating this, at one point we had had a couple of drinks and we'd ridden the bikes to dinner, and then my wife decided she wanted an ice cream sundae, and my sister-in-law wanted an ice cream sundae, and my brother-in-law wanted an ice cream sundae. So I took them all down to this place, the Ice Cream Castle. People in Ocean City know where that is.
I love Ocean City's name.
It's right by Hooters.
And, hello, I'm the king. You like two scoops or one?
I drove them down there in my car. You know, and I'm watching my weight, so I didn't have anything. But they all had these gigantic, I mean, really oversized fat man banana splits.
Which one of you peasants wants this confection?
And they got back, and all three of them had sugar highs like you wouldn't believe. And we were standing outside. It was about 9:15.
You realize it's the Elvis effect. Energy surged throughout their body.
There you go. It's about 9:15, and now my wife has totally gotten over being mad at me about this Google search thing. Uh-huh. And we're standing outside debating still whether to go on the beach and watch the fireworks or walk to the park. And she's got her arms around them. It's very nice. All of a sudden, she puts her leg, she's standing behind me, and she puts her leg between my legs, and she puts her leg up in the air like a Rockette thing. And I said, are you humping me with your leg? What are you doing? And she said, I'm just happy. And I said, there are people watching. Stop it. And then as soon as I said that, boom. Man, I mean, that happy mood, that sugar rush, that baby was gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she went upstairs, stormed upstairs to our place by herself. She's sitting out on the patio, and I went up and went, I go, baby, what now? She said, I can't win with you. I just can't win with you. Either you're upset about something like Sam, and then you get upset when I'm happy. And I said, I'm glad you're happy. I love that.
You didn't have the sugar high.
No, I didn't have an ice cream. I said, I'm glad, but there were people outside, like our neighbors and stuff.
Mm.
You're humping my leg like a dog. And she said, I wasn't humping your leg like a dog. Forget it. I'll go back to being the way you like me to be. I won't show you any affection at all. I'll just, you know, she does that whole thing. She just piles it on and piles it on and piles it on. And finally, you're just so beaten down that you just have to go, you know, again for the second time in the same God.
I think that's when you go out and eat the half gallon of ice cream.
That's when I just got to say, oh, okay.
You know. I'm sorry, overreacting, I'm sorry. You know what?
What does it take? Please.
Don't underestimate the significance of the ice cream in all of this.
Be happy. Yeah. Please be happy. Let's go watch the fireworks. So, this is where I made the biggest mistake.
Oh, no.
Because at this point, she was happy. Again, she said, I want to walk to the park, which is about 6 blocks away, to watch the fireworks.
Gentlemen.
And I said, darling, we go right. We got a place right on the beach. We go right here on the beach. We're gonna. They go like a mile in the air. So we're out on the beach and we start hearing the.
But we can't see Dick. A little low ceiling.
Yeah, we can't see anything. So what we have to do is walk over by Coastal Highway, and I ended up laying in the gutter, watching in the bus lane, watching the fireworks. While my wife and my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and all the kids were sitting, there was no room left for me to sit, so I simply laid in the gutter.
Looking up.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually laying down. I had my head, my right hand was propping up my head as I laid in the bus lane and watched the fireworks. And that brought Fred a great joy. That made her happier than she said,
He's laying in the gutter.
Look how happy you are. You're in the gutter. You're in the gutter. Just like when you were in Mike's bachelor party. That's one thing she still remembers. At Mike's bachelor party when you and Rob were so happy when you guys were drunk and you were sitting in the gutter with Rob. I bet all you would need now is for Rob to be here and you'd be happy because you'd be in the gutter with your buddy.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was the sugar rush just getting it all out.
That's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So then the last thing was the next day, the 5th of July, we're out on the beach and I've had my fill of people by this point, and I'm just sitting there by myself waiting for my family to come join me. And a guy comes up, and he says, hey there, boy. And right away, I go into my defensive crouch, and he's about 20 yards away. I said, can I help you? I mean, I said like a real jerk-off,
right?
Can I help you? And he got closer, and I saw Big Don O'Brien.
Big Don O'Brien, one of our best DJ buddies.
Yeah, really close friend of mine since I was a kid. He's working at WQSR in Baltimore. A lot of you guys in Baltimore know him. And as it turns out, he's got a place 2 blocks from our place.
Really? Cool.
So I met his wife, and we made some plans to get together.
Fantastic. And, he's a good guy.
You know, then yesterday, Frida came down and met his wife, and he's just such a wonderful, likable, nice guy.
And one of the most naturally funny guys I've ever met in my life.
How is his wife, Soledad?
Wrong O'Brien, Robbie. Wrong O'Brien. But
how's he look?
He looks skinny,
right?
But he has, and I hope he doesn't get pissed and he's listening now, he has a Dumb and Dumber haircut. Like a Jim Carrey haircut.
Really?
And it's dyed red.
Oh, my God. Oh,
wow.
He's strange with that hair.
He was telling me about, you know, here's a guy who worked he worked at B-104 in Baltimore with a guy who he was telling me when he used to work with him that this other guy, Ross Wilson, would like pull out a gun and point it at him when they were on the air.
As radio teams go,
Brian and O'Brien.
They apparently, this was one of the most hateful relationships. They were in separate rooms, and not because of a guy doing news like Buzz. They just chose. I don't think they looked at each other.
No, but he was telling me that, you know, they're talking about getting back together. That'd be good for radio for Big Don to get back together. Man, Brian and O'Brien we were talking about that, and he was telling me about, you know, we think we got problems with our bosses. Mm-hmm. And he's got some jerk off up there at QSR, and please don't get upset that I'm telling this, Big Don. I'm just saying so everybody can relate. It's like, you know, we got our problems that we think are monumental.
Right.
He still is getting yelled at for playing records like in the year 2525.
Right.
You know that record that came out in 1969?
In the year 2525.
Well, he tells me if he plays that record because it's not in the computer,
Like some dick calls him up and hotlines him.
Oh, God.
You know,
still dealing with that after, I mean, yeah. Yeah, there ought to be, DJs ought to get tenure.
Leave the guy the frig alone, but he's just a great guy, and as it turns out, I'm so lucky that we got this place down.
Is he going to be on TV anytime soon, or is he doing any of that at all?
No, he told me he's kind of...
he's got out of TV?
Well, he's been fired everywhere.
He's burned the bridges a little bit.
He got fired at Channel 7 in D.C.
God, he was funny on TV.
Then he got fired in Baltimore.
Remember when he did Dialing for Dollars?
Yeah. Then he told me he got fired in Salisbury from Good Morning Delmarva. He said, once you get fired from Good Morning Delmarva, there's no coming back.
He is so funny. He used to do Dialing for Dollars when we were doing the morning show. And you know, he'd have like a Hawaiian shirt on, and he would, in my opinion, really one of the toughest jobs in live television, to sit there and have to call a random number where they've sent in their phone number and do it on live television.
And just
and
pad.
Have to pad.
Yeah.
Pad the whole time.
Hey, we got, and the guy's a great disc jockey, so as it turns out, he had to be with his family last night. I had to be with my family. We weren't able to, we're going to get together on whatever the next Labor Day is, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me up last night and he said, hey, dear boy, let me give you the request number, the hotline number, because he's doing middays for a couple of days this week. He normally is the night.
Right.
So on my way back from the beach today, he was doing the noontime request show. So I call him up on the hotline, and I think he wanted me to say that it was me, and you know,
right.
But I said I didn't want to do that. I said, I just want to be me. So I just called him. Hey there, Big Don, how you doing? Saw you down at the ocean, hon.
Two guys that still love the business. That's for sure.
That's another thing he was telling me. He says that like when he puts people on the air with a Baltimore accent, they call them up and go, hey, Big Don Hun, how you doing? He says, like, the PD or the consultant, whoever, tells him not to do that.
Oh, come on.
No. The thing is, that's how people in Baltimore sound.
Yeah. Well, people also love talking like that in Baltimore.
But anyway,
it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if he got in trouble for it or not. I did like maybe you heard it today, if you listen to QSR at about 12:15. I did like a 1-minute call-in thing with him, never saying who I was, just saying, I saw you down at the ocean, hon, with your red hair, Big Don. And then I requested...
Is he still going by the name of Big Don?
Yeah.
Very
I requested
good.
A very, very gay song that I know is not on their playlist by Mark Lindsay.
Wow.
A song called Arizona. Yeah. And he played
Arizona.
He played it anyway, and goddamn him, he played it all the way to the label.
There you go.
It was great seeing Big Don, and that was a nice way.
God, he was a fun guy. He worked with us for a while. He's a fun guy to be around.
Nice way to end the vacation. And now I know I got a friend that lives nearby. And I got
very, very cool.
I got that other guy that I met, the guy that called in. So
you're getting established down there.
Yeah, it was not all a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice people. Overall, though, the vacation...
Scale of 1 to 10?
Oh. Not a 3?
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding. Maybe a 5.
Oh, come on now.
No, you know, I'm going to raise that, Mike. I'm going to raise that to a 7 or an 8 because there was a highlight during this vacation.
A highlight I missed and everybody else didn't, and I really wish I was there, but I want to hear all about it.
Well, I did save you the program.
Very good.
The marriage service of Lisa Marie Herndon and Charles Loring Broyhill, Saturday, the 28th of June, 2003, half after 4 in the afternoon at the Trinity Presbyterian Church in Herndon, Virginia.
Wow.
I got so much stuff from their wedding, including something that Charlie did during the ceremony that seriously made me laugh out loud. I'll say this. The guy has got some balls. I think we'll break and we'll come back. I got so much stuff from the wedding. I got Charlie making us laugh. I must tell you about the shirt that Lisa had Charlie wearing, which you won't believe.
Really?
Let me see. The stuff that they had in the bathroom at the reception, they had like condoms in the bathroom. And pictures of Charlie getting his hair permed. Also, our program director, Cameron Gray. He was so drunk. At one point, I said to him, Cam, why are you so drunk? And he held up like a Coke and rum, and he said, because I've had 20 of these.
Well, that explains it then.
And we called Sam Hoff.
Wow.
And I gave a speech.
Yes, you did. I want to hear all about this.
And Jim's sister was there, too.
Yes, she was.
I don't know if you've ever met Jim McClure's sister.
Oh, no, I haven't. Perhaps you should.
You should. Yeah.
Big Gum Jim was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And his sister.
And his sister. And his sister.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
Obviously, didn't get the family looks.
Well, no, they're fake.
Oh, okay.
But she had no problem just telling everybody. No, they're fake.
And that, did she look like Jim at all?
No, she's much cuter. Well, I mean, what isn't? You know, a pile of S is cuter than Jim.
She has a chin, if that's what you're wondering.
Does she have a chin?
Yes.
She has a chin. Yeah. So we will recap the Broyhill wedding, the Lisa Marie Herndon Broyhill wedding.
Wow.
Just nutty. Mm-hmm. It's still nutty.
Surreal.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the CDs that were on every table.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. With the songs by Marillion.
Things that he likes.
It's nutty. Well, it was things that he's so pussy-whipped, you won't believe it. I'll tell you about the shirts when we come back. That's the main thing. You will not believe how pussy-whipped
shirts that everybody in the wedding party had to wear?
No. Just the Charlie and Lisa were wearing.
Really?
Let's start with that. We come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just want to thank you guys one last time for being here. It's the best day ever.
Don't even start with me, Frankie. Okay, you need to walk away from this ASAP.
What?
You need to get out, Frankie.
Well, this is it, Frank. It's now or never. You need to get out of here while you're still single.
I'm not single.
She's 30 yards away from you. You're still single right now.
Come on, Frank. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Why don't you give that 6 months? You don't think that's going to change? I got a wife, kids. Do I sound like a happy guy to you, Frankie? That's not why. Nah, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
She's coming down the aisle, Beanie. Let it go.
All right, let me be the first to say congratulations to you, then. You get one vagina for the rest of your life. Real smart, Frankie. Way to work it through.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together to join Franklin and Marissa.
Don't do it!
My throat's dry, I'm sorry. Who's spoken?
The Don and Mike Show. Most all gays listen. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, we got so much to get to tomorrow besides the Barry White stuff and Buddy Epson stuff and Terminator stuff. I've got the tape, but we don't have time to get to it now. There's a disc jockey of some lesser status than us in the industry. Hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy named Michael Savage.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of him.
I hadn't either. He's an MSNBC weekend talk show host.
Anyway, he got fired from MSNBC for anti-gay remarks when one of our listeners called up and said something about us.
Really?
Yeah, now we got the tape, and I don't have time to get into it today and find out who this guy is, but I've got a thing here saying Associated Press says that Don and Mike played an unintended role in Savage's demise from MSNBC. Quote, the incident that resulted in his firing began innocently enough. Michael Savage was taking viewer phone calls with airline horror stories, and a male caller began talking about smoking in the bathroom. Half an hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your, the caller said, and before he was cut off, his words became unintelligible. So you're one of those sodomists. Are you a sodomist? Savage asked. The caller said, yes, I am. Oh, you're one of the sodomists, Savage said. You should get AIDS and die, you pig.
This is what he said to the caller?
Yeah.
On MSNBC, because the caller was, like, mentioning our name?
Yeah. So we'll hear all about it tomorrow. I mean, I'm just getting the stuff from Associated Press now, and I just was told that Rob's got a copy of the tape from MSNBC, so we'll hear it tomorrow.
Man, something to look forward to.
That gets that guy. Who is it, Barbie? It's not the bourbon guy. It's
East Coast Bob.
East Coast Bob.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, well, I got that. We'll do that right up at the top tomorrow.
Wow.
We'll have to research this Michael Savage guy.
Interesting. Now, is he a disc jockey as well as being on MSNBC or what?
Yeah, I think he's a disc jockey. He's one of these disc jockeys that, you know, look into a weekend thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he got fired from MSNBC because some guy called him, Frank called him about us, and he lost it. He lost it. Sodomized pig. Wished AIDS on somebody.
Wow.
Okay, the Broyhill wedding. Well, it started with the rehearsal
Friday night. I was, humbled to be in the wedding party.
Right.
So we had to go to the church for the rehearsal. And, of course, Lisa, who is a Barbie girl, was running around. Oh, God, now we're just getting calls about this Michael Savage thing. Hey, we're going to do it tomorrow. Dave?
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick that Savage is on the radio as well, and he's like a Rush Limbaugh knockoff.
Okay. Thanks. We'll find out about him tomorrow.
Okay.
We've got the tape of him.
Oh, one more thing? It's 3 months until Buzz's birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good.
Very thoughtful.
So, Lisa, who is like a Barbie girl in real life,
right,
is running around the church the day of the rehearsal wearing a shirt, a little white T-shirt that says Bride on it. You know, one word, bride.
Mm-hmm.
And Broyhill, while not, I think he was fighting a cold that day, he was pretty much himself. He was wearing black pants and a black shirt and black shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, somebody, I don't know, my wife or somebody said, "Well, now, Lisa, you have the bride shirt on. Where's Charlie's groom shirt?" And then she said, just as happy as a pig in ass, she said, "Oh, he's got it on. It's just underneath his black T-shirt." And then for one of the maybe 400 times she called him that night alone, she said, "Sweetheart, take off your shirt and show everybody the T-shirt you're wearing underneath."
And did he do it on command?
He did. And I mentioned this in my remarks that I was asked to make at the wedding ceremony about what a changed man he was. And Mike, now you've known him. I've known him 20 years. You've known him 15.
Mm-hmm.
Take a good look. Is this the Charles Broyhill that you know wearing a shirt that says, it's a white shirt with blue writing that just says,
wow,
groom on it?
They couldn't be any more innocent, could they? Look at these two.
I know.
Look at these two kids.
That's why there was a picture taken, to show you some actual,
my God,
proof of how just totally pussy whooped he is already.
Wow.
I mean, I'm pussy whooped and I've been married 22 years.
Right.
This is before the guys even really said I do.
You know, and go figure.
We never thought.
I mean, everything surprises me about this relationship, and I can only think that perhaps it's a good omen. That I mean, really, I you know, unless you know, someday you're gonna find out that you know he's buried cats in his backyard.
Now, you know, I mentioned it when I was up there speaking after the ceremony at the reception that he is a changed person.
Right.
That there is, you know. And I mentioned this the whole groom shirt thing.
Yes.
That this is a side of Broyhill,
right,
that I'd never seen before.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that this side of him existed.
Right. Right. The happy, look at the smile.
Yeah. I know.
He doesn't even smile that much.
And he's sick. And he was really sick on this day.
Right.
But he gladly took off his shirt to show that he was wearing the groom shirt. And later that night.
Look at the look on her face.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know.
I can't wait to get pregnant. That's what her look says.
Right.
And at dinner, later that night, the rehearsal dinner, he was proudly wearing the groom shirt that night, too.
Was he drinking?
No. Iced tea, regular iced tea.
A bunch of sugars. He still put the sugars in it?
1,000 sugars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a nice rehearsal and a really great rehearsal dinner over at the Palm. Here's the thing that he did that cracked me up during the wedding ceremony.
Hey, you told me this before. I can't wait to hear you share this.
Let me give you a little background on this. There's a tape we played of, you know, famous on this show, sportscaster Larry Michael. I don't always play it all the way through,
right,
but listen to it now.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
And we have the catchphrase for Larry Michael has always been, I do. I mean, we say that when we're out, though. I'm Larry Michael. I do.
Larry's coming in tonight on JFK to do the Redskins show. I should mention it's 5:39 here on WJFK FM, Washington, Live 105 in Baltimore, WYSP in Philly, 96 Rock in Ocean City. It's 4:39 at KCJJ in Iowa City, and 5:39 at WBUF-FM in Buffalo.
Very good.
That's the Dynamite Network.
Great to be back in Buffalo.
Such as it is today, at least. So, Broyhill's standing now. This is not the rehearsal. This is the real deal. And I'm standing, one guy, his best man, Gary is standing right next to him, and I'm standing next to Gary, and next to me is another guy named Gary, and next to him is Big Gum Jim.
Is that Tiny Gary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Tiny, the Gary that you and I know, was the guy that was standing behind me.
Okay.
The Gary who was Charlie's best man was his track coach
okay.
in school.
Very good.
One of his closest friends. So we'd gone through the rehearsal the day before. You know, you're supposed to like stand at a 90-degree angle, and then at one point everybody turns and faces the altar, and then you turn back again, you put your hands in front of you, and we're all wearing tuxedos, and it's funny enough that Boyle's up there in a tuxedo really getting married. The guy goes through everything. The priest. Absolutely friggin' everything. Oh, and you know, before the deal, back in the room where they put the groom and the groomsman, they had fruit back there. And Broyhill was just farting like you wouldn't believe.
Oh,
her.
No.
As we walked out...
Well, some things haven't changed.
Right. As we walked out for him to get married, Jim McClure said to him, "Is your phone on?" And Broyhill said, "Yeah, but I got it on vibrate." You know, that's Broyhill.
That's the real Broyhill, right?
All the way. But even when he's on the day he was getting married, he didn't turn his cell phone off.
Sure.
So the preacher goes through all the stuff, you know, love, honor, cherish, all this. I mean... And it was just the longest ceremony. I mean, somebody singing the Lord's Prayer and, wow. and lots of
usually your Protestant ceremonies are kind of rapid.
How long? It was, I mean, it was nice. It was like 25 minutes long, right?
Well, it was longer than that. It was more like 45.
And yeah. they finally get to the end, and they say, "Do you, Lisa, take Charles?" And she goes, "I do." And they go, "Do you, Charles, take Lisa?" And he says, "I swear to Christ." Loud. He goes, "I do!" And I
want to know how premeditated that was.
I laughed out loud. Well, I'll tell you how premeditated it was.
Okay.
At the Jim McClure wedding, of which you, I, and Buzz were not invited.
Right.
Apparently, Charlie, who was in the wedding party, offered Jim $200 in cash to do that.
Yep.
And Rob was there.
Right.
And Jim McClure wouldn't do it.
Right.
He wouldn't do it. There was no money on the line for Broyhill.
Sure.
So that's where it started at McClure's wedding. But Broyhill, just out of the blue, "Do you, Charles, take Lisa?" "I do!"
Yeah, there is, yeah, that's worth going to the whole thing.
A pretty good follow-up is they were pretty good about putting the friends of the bride to the left side of the aisle and the friends of the groom to the right side of the aisle.
Right.
And there was a good amount of tittering from all the WJFK people who were seated by each other. And what my favorite part was, Don was supposed to be facing like perpendicular to the congregation. And when he said, "I do," Don had to shift very much away because there was some laughter going on.
I was laughing out loud.
It was great. The other thing I enjoyed is that when I saw all the groomsmen in a row and they bowed their head during prayer, Jim McClure can really bow his head long because there's no chin.
No chin.
Right, so
right.
He almost folds in half.
His head goes down to his navel.
No chin.
Like no problem at all.
A wonderful show up there. Not just the wedding, but a whole show.
That is pretty strong. You know, anybody that can inject comedy into the most sacred of
he
moments.
He did. This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
I do. I do.
And the great thing is Larry was there, too.
That's bad.
So Larry was sitting out in the crowd, and that's why I couldn't turn around, because I know if I turned around and I saw Larry sitting out there, I would really lose it. Mm. And Broyhill, I will give him credit, not under his breath, not half-hearted.
Wow.
I do!
That's great.
It was great.
Now, how did the bride react to that? Did she know it was coming?
I don't think so. You know, she was just happy that
he married her.
I think she was, no.
Is she pregnant? Is she pregnant?
I don't know. I'm going to bring them in the next segment.
Yeah, very good.
Give them the quiz here on what happened. As I mentioned, also, the wedding itself was nice.
Yes, it was.
A little long, but nice. Some people only get married once
in a lifetime.
So hopefully for them that's in. And
if I ever get married again, my ceremony will be 18 seconds.
So they
8 seconds. It's just going to be like a rodeo ride.
They had that, and I mean, Lisa and her mom. I want to tell you something. These girls had this goddamn thing. They had it so set up. They had it to the nanosecond where Lisa would say, like at the rehearsal, "Okay, now at this point I'm going to turn around, and then Charlie, you turn around, and then we're going to walk down the aisle very carefully like this, and everybody walk down, take 5 paces down the aisle, you walk down the aisle, then we're going to go, and we're going to get in the limo, and the video camera's going to get us getting the limo, and then the limo is just going to drive us around to the other side of the church where they were going to re-enter. So it was like they had this whole faux staged leaving the chapel.
Totally orchestrated.
Which is what I guess, you know, people do now, but it was just amazing to me that it was all I don't remember any of this choreographed stuff when I got married. It was just, you know, show up, you know, say I do, and then go to the party. Yeah.
Knock it out.
But this was something. They had little kids in there, and none of the little kids went crazy or anything. I mean,
good.
In the ceremony, there was...
Well, Lisa's sisters have a lot of children, right?
Yeah, they do.
Or maybe, like, one of her sisters has to, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is that when it was time...
Yes, Rob, too.
When it was,
sorry.
When it was time to walk down the aisle...
Lisa's 18 sisters have a combined number of 52 children.
No offense to the other one, but I got the hot sister to be with.
You get Kathy?
Yeah.
Well, Kathy's the single sister.
Yeah, no offense to Dee Dee.
No offense to Dee Dee. She's a beautiful woman also. Awesome. Yeah.
But Dee Dee, her other sister, his husband was standing right next to me. His name's Teddy.
Right.
And
how did Kathy look at the ceremony?
Well...
Really?
Strong.
You know, I'm thinking maybe I should have come back.
Real strong. And I got to do that deal because I was one of the grooms when I got to walk down the aisle.
Arm in arm.
And then...
Kathy looked really awesome.
Then at the reception, you know...
I had to dance with her.
The first dance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to dance with her.
I had to dance close with her.
Mm-hmm. Was it fun?
Dirty dance.
Did you,
No, it was nice. It was nice. The only problem is I get done dancing with her and I just go to sit at the table and, you know, Frida says, "Well, how can you won't dance with me?" So, okay, I had to dance because I was in the thing.
And it starts.
The thing with the thing.
Well, you know, when you get them in there, I hope they brought some pictures. Did they get the pictures yet?
Or? Oh, I've got a disc that I'll print out tonight. I know Frida took some pictures as well.
Really?
That will knock your freaking socks off.
Fantastic.
You have to see Cameron Gray.
Just based.
You have to see. He's not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
He's beyond drunk. He's like ready to check into rehab drunk.
Yeah, I love Cameron, and I've known him for a long time, and he's really not a big drinker.
Right.
And he was to the point where he said, "You know what? I'm really drunk." I said, "Gary, this is my boss." And the other thing that I felt bad for Cameron is he went up to the bar and he ordered a Jack and Coke, and they gave him Maker's Mark and Pepsi.
But he had 20 of them. Seriously, he had 20 of them.
Oh, my God.
At one point, I said, "Why are you drunk?" He said, and he told me the same thing.
Yeah.
"I wanted Jack and Coke. I got Marker's Mark and Pepsi. But I had 20 of them."
That's right. He's Marker's Mark.
Marker's Mark.
I gave him Marker's Mark.
Did Marillion play at the reception?
No, that was on. Now, on every table at the reception, there was a CD.
Yes.
And the table that you sat at, you found out the table because it went with the title of the songs that were on the CD.
No, like numbered tables. Every table had a number, had a title. Mm-hmm. A title.
And there were songs by Shania Twain and Firehouse
and
Marillion.
Fantastic. What table, what was the name of your table? Did you know?
It was a Journey song, something about something your love.
Yeah, something about love.
Yeah, with our table. After a while, it became a blur.
Very clever.
The highlight, the highlight, though, was standing outside with Cameron Gray, who was so drunk, and Rob and Big Gum Jim, and then, I don't know who, Rob or Jim, one of them said to me, "You want to really have some fun?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I had a couple of drinks. I wasn't drunk like McClure or like Cameron, but I was on my way.
Right.
Rob said, "Listen to this." Pulls out a cell phone, calls Sam Hoff.
This is Sam Hoff.
Now, it was a message. It was just a message where he just answers the phone and says,
"It's Middleburg Broadcasting," and he says, "You reach Middleburg Broadcasting. This is Sam Hoff." And it's just the way he says it. We never leave him a message. We just listen to the message.
It's nice to know that Sam can continue to entertain all year
long. I mean, maybe, and I'm being conservative, 25 times.
Oh, really?
Just over and over.
Called and left him messages?
No, we didn't. I don't think we left.
No, we never.
Oh, you just called and listened.
We just heard.
Yeah, but this is just as well.
We heard. All we would just hear is, "This is Sam Hunt."
And then you'd double over laughing.
Well, that Frida's got a picture where she says, What are you guys laughing at?" And I said, "We're calling Sam Hoff."
"We are calling Sam Hoff of Lab."
And a great, like, marble lobby outside the
reception hall.
Reception hall.
Right.
And the laughter will just
Oh, so great.
And hold on, don't forget about the old photo. They had like these...
oh, right.
They had these big, gigantic...
Poster boards.
With old pictures of Charlie and Lisa. Mm-hmm. Now...
Oh, wow.
Seeing the pictures of Lisa as a child, she looks pretty much the same.
Hmm.
Now, you got to see the pictures, though, of baby Broyhill
mm-hmm.
and of, like, the 8 and 9-year-old Charlie Broyhill.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did he look like a Ferengi?
It was beyond nuts. It really was. I stood there for about 5 minutes just laughing at the pictures.
It sounds to me, though, like the day was, I mean, went off without a hitch.
It flew. You know what? Once crazy. We got to the reception, it flew by.
I right.
mean, we didn't even blink, and it was like 11:30.
It was a good first-class reception. As soon as I got there, Buzz's wife came up to me and said, "Oh, great news."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what else could be here? She says, "They have Grey Goose vodka."
Hey, good for them. Way to go. Under the counter?
Yeah, it was hidden. The good stuff was hidden.
The good stuff was hidden. That's good. Good for them.
Buzz's wife found it. When we come back, we'll talk to the bride and talk to the groom.
Wonderful.
I'll embarrass Lisa by reading inside the thing here that had the ceremony, lighting of the candles. It's another queer thing Charlie did, was light the candle together with her.
Right.
Unity candle.
Yeah, Unity. I've seen that one before.
The wedding party and everything else. Lisa wrote personal notes that were printed to her sister Dee Dee, her sister Kathy, to Jessica, one of her bridesmaids, to Brown Gwendy,
right.
one of the bridesmaids, and to Lindsay.
And to her mom as well.
And to her mom.
A nice tribute there.
Some of the other ones are just, they're very legally blonde. That's all I want to say.
The tribute to me was on what, the other page?
There was a tribute to neither you nor I, Mike.
Can't believe that. Yeah.
However, to Jessica.
You didn't see there was a third poster.
Lisa did write. Even though we were complete opposites.
Lisa flipping me off.
Even though we were complete opposites, you were the cure. I was New Kids on the Block. It worked. Maybe that's because we are so much cooler than everyone else.
Lisa just flipped me off again.
I love you, Jessica. And then to Lindsay, I see a lot of myself in you. From your shoes and the way you dress, your outlook on life, I feel like I am looking at me. That's why I like you so much. I love you, Lindsay. Kathy,
mm-hmm.
you are the coolest big sister. She is a cool big sister, I'll tell you that.
She's, I've spoken of Kathy often.
I got to spend some quality time with her. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that one's actually not bad. Jessica, here's what I don't get. To my do sister, D-O-O, like dog do. To my do sister. I don't get that one. That's the one about New Kids on the Block and how cool they were. Anyway, it's weird. Oh, and to Dee Dee, her sister Dee Dee, you were the popular homecoming queen that I wanted to become. Instead, I became the class clown. I guess it isn't bad. I might not be here today if I had been the queen instead of the jester. Thank you for making this day possible. I love you with all that I am.
Aw.
So, you know.
Aw, that's sweet. Well, that's nice. I like that.
Nice, but, you know.
She's got a great family. And I mean, probably everybody that was there, you know, that's, I wish I was there for that.
You know, I'm sure that you.
I wish I was there for Kathy.
I was.
Because, you know, I think she needed me there.
Yeah. No, she was in good hands.
she did not need you.
I do.
All right, so we'll bring the bride and groom in and find out what they thought. Because I've not spoken to, I mean, I've had casual conversations
right.
with both of them, but haven't put them on the spot yet about what they thought about their wedding.
I don't want to say anything, but I mean, earlier today, when I was coming up the stairs, Lisa was in the stairwell sobbing. I'm kidding. Not true. And, you know, there appeared to be some swelling.
No,
I'm just joking.
You know, my niece got married, too. My niece Beth.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Bethy Boo?
Beth got hitched.
You know, Beth, the one that I made out with all those years ago? She got married, but they...
I like the way you say that matter-of-factly now. Yeah. I think of our new listeners in Buffalo that might have heard that.
But she was an adult at the time. It's not blood relation.
you didn't make out. You were intoxicated.
You
were
drunk.
Right.
I admitted to it. It's no big deal.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But, she got this thing. She's like Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Oh, really?
It is just Ocean City, but it was like totally super secret. No one's allowed to know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mother-in-law called on Monday and said, "I think Beth is getting married, but
because, you know, the Judy told me to come to a restaurant and wear nice clothes. And everybody's going, no, they're just going out to lunch.
And she did.
Yeah, and then when my mother-in-law got picked up to go to this thing, they said, no cell phones. Because Beth didn't want anybody to know she was getting married.
That's so strange.
Well, she's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to bring out some personality in her that night.
I'm sure she appreciates it.
She
didn't
want to make you jealous.
Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, you know, it was like opposite things. I went to this one big, gigantic, lavish wedding, which was just totally over the top produced and choreographed and everything. And then on the other hand, I got my niece who like got married and like pretty much said to everybody, F you. I don't want any of you involved. I want, and not just us, I mean the whole family.
Right.
She didn't want anybody. She's just a private person.
Well, you know, I guess I can let the cat out of the bag now that, you know, the next day after Charles and Lisa got married.
Yeah.
Kathy flew up to Maine. We were betrothed. Congratulations. Thank you. She told me about you too.
You are so jealous. You are so jealous that I got to be with Kathy.
I am. Just a wee bit. I am. As Lisa would tell you, I'm fond of her sister.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a good time.
I hit the jackpot.
Boing.
I hit the jackpot.
There's the jackpot.
Yeah. We're dancing, and she's saying, "How was my speech okay?" Oh, yes. You spoke from the heart. Anytime you speak from the heart, you tell me something. Hey, who's that guy you're with?
That was
a good time.
Very good.
We'll interview them and find out how married life is treating them. Because I do know some stuff that's happened already.
She's pregnant?
No. No, no, she's had an abortion.
No.
Kidding.
Of course.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
The Don and Mike Show. It's even better than a bushel basket of ass fruit. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we're running so late today. Let's bring the couple in.
Bring in the happy couple.
And let's get their first public interview now.
Very good.
This is Charles Broyles.
I believe they should share a microphone.
Oh, no.
No.
They each need their own separate mics.
Really? They're not going to, like, stand cheek-to-cheek and speak?
Well, they'll stand close, but I think they each need their own microphone.
Oh, cool. Lisa did bring pictures. Lisa will sit.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, you kids.
So how's it going?
Wonderful.
Have you knocked her up yet?
Not yet.
Not yet?
A couple of weeks.
Everything, as far as you were concerned, go as planned, and you consider it a good day, a successful day?
Yeah, it was a good day. My plan would have been about 120 less people.
Mm-hmm.
That was how many people were there.
That was the total number of people.
And that would have been it for me. Just no people.
Left us of the peace, he and I.
And how did he? How do you think he handled it with you know, being around what he hates, people?
He did so great.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of pictures that Frida took of Charlie just standing against the wall by himself.
Yeah. There was a long time where he just stayed up at our... what they call sweetheart table, which was a table for the two of us, up on risers,
right,
with track lighting on us. So everybody, we were the focal point of the room, and that was the favorite part, absolutely. And I would be out and around talking to people or whatever, and I would look, and he was just sitting at the table.
Well, how different is it now that you're married? Because, I mean, you were already shacking up.
What was it like coming to work today?
Same, normal.
No different.
Uh-uh.
You drive separate cars?
Not today.
Ah, that'll change.
We've been doing that off and on for the past couple of months anyway.
Yeah.
It just depends on our schedules, if I have a soccer game or if he has something football or if he wants to go to Tower and buy a CD or something.
They're married.
You're married.
They are married. Yep. You know, there it is.
Charlie, it wasn't until, I guess, after the ceremony, when, you know, you got away from all the pictures afterwards.
Right.
And I was when you were getting your picture taken with Lisa and her family, I was standing back there with McClure, and he said to me, "Look at him." And I hadn't taken myself back from it.
I'm just looking at the sweetheart table. My God, you were on display.
Yeah. Her sister wanted it to be like Hank's Look Around Cafe and be on a rotating riser.
I had not ever seen you. I mean, I'd seen you, but not from a distance. That you were up there, really, no pun intended, wearing the monkey suit.
Yeah, I looked taller, too.
You looked very serious.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I've just known you so long to think you're married.
Wow.
That he's actually married.
Look at him.
Here you go.
So that's a look right there with his expression.
You should have seen him. He was as uncomfortable as hell. Now, Lisa, are there any of these photos that you would like to put up on the web?
I don't mind putting any of them up on the web. If we have somewhere to put them, they can...
Oh, can we go to WJFK.com?
Yeah.
Put them up there?
That'd be great.
I know that...
Boy, that Kathy's got great skin, doesn't she?
I know that my wife has a great one of you by yourself, Charlie.
Against the wall?
Yeah.
Hello? Looking really bored.
Hey, baby.
Yes, my sugar baby.
Now, don't you have a bunch of great pictures of the Roy Hill wedding?
Yes, I emailed some of them, I think. Didn't I email you one of you guys?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you sent us two, I think.
Yeah, I do have some, but I don't have as many of the bride and groom because I didn't have the setting on the right light thing.
Then. I'm looking at the picture right now of the human, what do you call that?
Pyramid.
The pyramid, yes, where it's...
Oh, really?
Frida and Rob's wife, Carrie, on the bottom, and Jim McClure's wife and his sister are mounting.
That's how I was...
are mounting them.
Yes, well, I was entertaining some of the girls. There was a number of breast pictures in there,
uh-huh.
And the human pyramid, and Carrie... I love Carrie. I tell her to do something stupid, and she does it.
Did that picture come out?
That's the pyramid?
No, that one.
There was one
where Carrie almost tripped.
Oh, the one where it looks like she's giving Charlie a BJ.
Right.
In this picture, because Charlie's standing against the wall, and Rob's wife trips, and she's...
I said, Carrie, fall down, like, trip like you're going to fall down and be on your knees right in front of Charlie, and I'll take the picture real quick.
Well, you guys should go through and pick the ones that you like the best.
Okay.
And then tomorrow we'll put them up on WJFK.com.
Sure.
Excellent.
For everybody to see what the...
Looks like you guys all had a blast. I wish I was there.
We did. It was quite outstanding.
Pictures will be good. A lot of people ask me about. This is the thing I was asked most about over the vacation with Charlie and Lisa's wedding.
What are you looking at, Mike?
Nothing.
Well, what is it?
It's a picture of you escorting Kathy into the ballroom.
Oh, that one.
Aww.
Ballroom.
Look at that. And look at me. Damn, I'm a handsome man, and she's a handsome woman. You know, if I wasn't so in love with this woman on the phone who yelled at me repeatedly on the beach,
mm-hmm.
Your sister might have a shot.
Maybe.
Don't hold you back.
What?
Don't let me hold you back.
No.
Hey, the swinging lifestyle. Buzz has, enjoyed it for years.
Sure. Kathy and Teddy are, Dee Dee and Teddy are probably into that if you guys want to.
I love you too much, baby. Oh, and listen, about your favorite guy, Buzz, we're pretty sure that he's colored his hair.
What about him?
No.
Suzanne Summers.
you are unnaturally... I mean, I haven't even seen you, so I'm not even sure what they're talking about right now. But come to think of it, you don't have like a speck of gray for...
No, honey, it was Rob.
Was Rob a little bomb, too?
Oh.
One of my favorite pictures.
Rob.
Let's see, where is it?
Rob and Carrie sitting at the sweetheart table.
Let me see that.
Oh, I got that one. I got one like that.
Yeah, Frida got a pretty good one of Rob and me.
Right.
Yeah, I look skinny in that.
Rob, I think Frida's comment to me was, she said, I know he's your best buddy and all, but Rob is a weird-looking guy.
Giant head.
Right, baby? What was your highlight of the wedding, baby?
The
butter. Oh, God. I don't know, my boo-boo. I liked it when I was having a great time at the reception and taking pictures of, a lot of crowd, if you start taking pictures of people's breasts, they would become, a little uptight.
Oh, yeah, now listen, everybody should pay attention. That my wife was telling me that at one point she was walking around taking a picture of, Shondell,
right?
I've got it.
Shondell's boobs.
Oh. And then
also Jim McClure's sister boobs.
Like with Jim McClure's sister, whom I just met, and I took a picture of, because I was just playing with the cameras because they had unused pictures on. So and she said, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get to squeeze them together. I mean, it was a loose crowd.
Yeah.
you guys should pick something.
And I apologize. I'm losing my focus because I'm really going through these wedding pictures. And I was
Rob. I'm drunk, Rob. Oh, those are Shondell's boobs.
Yep.
Wow.
Not that I know them, but I recognize the...
Well, wait. Shondell's boobs talking to whose boobs?
Desiree. talking to Jim McClure's sister.
No, that's
Curtis.
Desiree.
Who's Desiree?
She worked at Wava with us.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, you remember her? The girl with the frizzy hair?
Yeah. Wow.
And I was only sad as we were driving away. I thought, shoot, I should have tried up the skirt. That would have been fun, too.
Next time.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got plenty. You know, I think that Lisa's got more than you've got, but maybe you could email the ones you got, baby, to Lisa.
Oh, sure.
And she can put those up on the web.
And these are from the disposable cameras. This is one of my favorites, too. It's Don's dinner and his name card, Michael Source, and his plate of butter that he was having for dinner.
Oh, ha. Huh. Someone as a gag put all the butter on my plate.
Hey, Joe looked pretty put together.
I get jokes.
Yeah.
Here's the monkey cake with him holding the girl.
Oh, yeah. Now, there was back in the groom's room at the church, there were little pictures of King Kong and also a cake with a monkey on it for Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Holding the blonde girl.
Did you do that? Was that your
No,
doing?
That was my Aunt Dee Dee. And I had one that just had a monkey on it.
Well, listen, isn't this sickening?
You know, this is just too much sweetness for one show.
Wait, one other sweet thing I do want to share.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember when we went to cut the cake and Dee Dee's 4.5-year-old son got on the microphone by himself. It was his idea to get on the mic and said, cut this cake. Oh, yeah, Charlie, by the way, the pot roast you cooked me last weekend was delicious. And then he said, oh, and by the way, Lisa, I love you very much. And yeah, it was so sweet.
Hey, I want to congratulate Charlie and Lisa for not shoving the cake into each other's face.
Oh, gosh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a refreshing change.
We all appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We do. What's wrong?
Nothing. Well, I'm not going to put a damper on this sweet moment here.
Why, what?
Well, at my wedding, we didn't do that either. I don't know what, you know.
If I'd had a chance to catch them, if I'd been there that day, I would have said a full facial with the cake.
Anyway, they're married and they're happy.
Well, we didn't do it at our wedding either, and we blessed.
Sure.
Now, look at this. Honey, I want to tell you something. You are the biggest lesbian. Here's a picture of you flat out kissing Rob's wife. I mean, you're kissing her on the cheek.
I didn't remember kissing her.
Somebody's going to be jealous.
I did that night.
But
Jesus
Christ. But here you are. Look at this. There's Frida just kissing Carrie.
And she's smiling, too.
Do not show that to Mark.
Uh-oh. There's going to be problems.
Yeah. This is the funniest one, though. Roy Hill wearing the groom shirt and Lisa wearing the bride shirt.
Yeah, they're cute.
Well, listen, kids, go through and find...
Here's Larry.
We're just handing pictures.
I do. There he is. Here's three...
That's a great picture of you, Joe Ardinger, and Rob.
There's three champions of industry together. Jesus. All right, you know, go through all these and find the ones that you like. God, everybody was so gay.
Yeah.
There's drunk Jim McClure and drunk Cameron.
Kind of like a mafia wedding. Everybody, a lot of kissing of men.
Kissing Rob A.
And kissing going on.
A lot of other things, too. Okay.
Wow. Pick the ones you like best, and baby, email some to Lisa.
I will. Lisa, you look beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You really sweated every single detail. I mean, even to where the darling, did you mention what you found in the men's room?
Oh yeah, condoms.
Right,
and the amenity basket.
Very nice.
Condoms and pictures of Lisa with her hair in curlers and the young Charles Broyhill getting a perm.
Well, also in the amenity basket were the Cottonelle wipes for your fanny after you go number two, hairspray, breath mints, combs and picks, and rubbers.
Wow, incredible.
Which were all gone, by the way.
I mean, that,
taking a BM.
Who doesn't want that? A BM and then put a condom on.
Absolutely.
All right,
mom, Kathy, and Dee Dee didn't miss anything. Amenities are here for you, our guests. So you will look and feel your best.
Charlie, you have anything to say?
No.
You haven't been doing any talking.
No, I don't.
How do you like being married?
It really hasn't changed from the last 6 months.
Right.
Well,
mother calls a lot.
My mother always called a lot, but...
You know what you should do now, though? This is just one piece of advice. It's the only advice I'm going to give you, Charlie. It's time for you right now to get really, really fat.
Too late.
He's working on it.
Yeah, he is working on it.
Good.
What a big, fat, floppy guy.
Isn't he pretty?
All right, get out of here. All you guys get out of here.
See
now.
You later.
You know, I feel our ratings going away. We just
Everybody loves a wedding.
Need a little more hate.
Anyway. All right, baby.
All right, goodbye, boo-boo.
All right, love you.
Love you, too.
Okay. How do you think Sam's doing today?
Oops.
She's gone.
She's gone. We got a break. Buzz, boy, I guess we're running out of time for news. You know, we'll get the Buzz and we'll give away the $1,000. Just give me a chance here, Rob. We'll just break. We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f***
I please.
The Don and Mike Show.
Two guys you can't help but like. Don and Mike.
Thinking about tomorrow's show here. Rob, we very rarely do this, but can you pull out like one of the last times we had Buddy Upson on the phone?
Sure.
Or in studio?
1960.
Come on.
Yeah.
We had him on a couple of years ago.
We had him on the phone. We also had him live in studio.
Yeah. We love our tribute to Buddy Upson. And incidentally, those of you listening on WYSD in Philly, I know he doesn't live there anymore, but be very, very afraid for Buddy Ryan. Because they go in threes, and you've got...
It might be a Buddy trifecta.
Buddy Hackett.
Right.
Buddy, you know...
Ebsen.
Buddy Ebsen. And I'm thinking... Buddy Ryan.
Well, I wouldn't be, if I was up in Providence, Rhode Island, and saw the former mayor.
Buddy Cianci.
I may be a little worried,
Buddy
too.
Scott. And don't forget, yeah, the best program director, Buddy Scott. Yeah, I'm thinking it's got to be a more famous Buddy,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
yeah.
Buddy. Buddy Ryan has a heart attack waiting to happen. Anyway, tomorrow, and speaking of, well, he didn't die of a heart attack, but we're going to have a Barry White tribute.
Mm.
We're going to play the famous Barry White cutting a commercial tape.
He gave us a lot while he was alive.
And I'm really going to go to town for the final time.
Good.
On the Barry White CDs with the fart stuff.
Absolutely.
I can't believe he's gone. He looked so well.
Yeah, he did. So just be advised that that's going to be tomorrow. I know that there's a large portion of the audience that loves that.
Yeah.
And a large portion that hates that.
I'll be standing by with headache medication because I laugh so hard it hurts.
But, you know, I was listening to a song over the weekend. Actually, all last week on holiday, on vacation, I got this CD by Ziggy Marley.
Mm-hmm.
He's never released his own CD. He's one of these reggae guys. Shock. But he's got this song that I cannot get out of my freaking head called Got to Be True to Myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's cut number two on his CD. It's a great song. And I was thinking about that and thinking about the Barry White thing. You know, like when I go on vacation, I overanalyze our show. And I was thinking, you know, no offense to you guys out there. If you don't get it, change the station. But if it makes me laugh, it makes Mike laugh,
mm-hmm.
makes Rob laugh.
Yeah, it's funny.
It makes Buzz turn his head the other way. But I know we're doing something that's funny.
It's cool. Funny.
Yeah. You know, and we love doing that Barry White stuff. We love doing it on his birthday.
Well, you know, there's a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Well, the Barry White tribute tomorrow. Loosely, of course, a tribute.
Right.
The Buddy Ebsen tribute. That'll probably be more of a real tribute.
Mm-hmm.
We got something with Arnold tomorrow.
Mm.
And I'm reading now on the web all this stuff about this disc jockey, Michael Savage, that got fired.
Yeah, and somehow we were involved in this. I'm curious to hear about this and maybe hear that tape.
Well, we've got the tape. We'll hear it tomorrow now. I never heard of this guy, but it's on AP, mm-hmm. UPI. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got it now. MSNBC today fired Michael Savage for anti-gay comments. The talk show hosted at a weekend show for the cable channel referred to an unidentified caller as a sodomite and said he should get AIDS and die.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. The incident that resulted in his firing, innocently enough, Savage was taking viewer phone calls. Hey, that's great TV, incidentally. Mm-hmm. This jockey's taking phone calls.
Yeah, really, exactly.
About airline horror stories. Mm-hmm. And a male caller began talking about smoking in the bathroom. Half an hour into the flight, I need to suggest that Don and Mike take your... dot, 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 the caller said before he was cut off and his words became unintelligible. So you're one of those sodomists. Are you a sodomite? Savage asked. The caller, who I guess he didn't hang up on,
right,
said, yes, I am.
There you go.
And here you go. This is where the guy loses it. The disc jockey says, oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that? Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage, and you have nothing to do today. Go eat a sausage and choke on it. He asked for another phone caller who didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse with someone who's angry at me today.
Mm. Wow.
And that is all, you know, you can say I'm being egotistical. I don't give an ass. It's based on the fact that this caller named our name.
Frank called and mentioning our names.
For a disc jockey we never heard of before.
A guy that we have never mentioned on this show, I believe.
Right? I don't know him. I mean, I swear
I've never heard of him.
I know a lot of people in the radio business. I mean, I guess I've heard the name. I've never heard... of the disc jockey.
I guess he has been on WABC, but has just left there, and this will be good after his recent comments. He's headed to work at a station now in San Francisco. So, good luck to him.
Brad Cooper.
Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, we'll play the tape tomorrow. We don't have time to get into it now, but... Yeah, hey, it's good for one time to be on the other end of this.
Yeah, I mean, no fuss, no muss. I mean, I you know, he apparently went off on the guy and used all those terms about. I'm not sure where that came from.
And if anybody
is that the guy's rap? Is he a conservative guy that like is anti-gay anyway?
He wants to build walls around borders and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. If anybody in the press wants a statement from us, though, I'd be glad to give it right now.
Rob, got some reverb, please.
All right, Don Geronimo's statement on the. Michael Savage firing can follow.
Number two or number one?
Two. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, this is Don, and I speak for my best buddy Mike.
Hello.
We ain't never heard of Michael Savage. Thank you. But he seems like a real dickwad.
It sure sounds like that.
Thank you.
No, please, sorry. No pictures.
No photos. Please, no photos.
Update that, please.
Please.
I think that like the scene of The Godfather.
Oh, and yes. We're on in Buffalo now.
Hello, Buffalo.
Great to be back.
And apparently we just got fired in Mobile, Alabama.
Bye-bye.
Hold on. Is this true? Charlie's mother-in-law is on the telephone.
Huh.
Charlie Broyhill's mother-in-law, Lynn?
Yes. Hey,
hi.
Congratulations, Lynn.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Are they all married off now? No, they're not. Kathy's still not married, right?
I've got one more.
Yeah.
One more, but I just called...
Mrs. Kathy O'Mara.
Oh, Kathy O'Mara. Okay,
yes,
well, I'll put that down.
Yes,
no, I called about my son-in-law. I wanted to talk to him and see if he's okay and tell him how much I missed him. And if I can, I'll probably stop by maybe this evening, a little bit later. Okay?
He'd love to see you, I'm sure.
Well, Kathy, we'll bring your son-in-law in. Charlie, would you come in and talk to your mother-in-law for a second? Is he calling on the line? Come on in.
Charlie, your mother-in-law is on the phone.
Understand. You spent a lot of time with Charlie this weekend, Lynn.
And
you miss him already?
Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Here's Lynn, your mother-in-law, calling the show.
Hi.
Son-in-law, how are you?
I didn't call her.
I know you didn't.
It's on the screen.
I know.
Well, I guess we've got a new person that's going to be a regular caller.
I guess we do.
Yeah, I got to call and check on them, make sure things, just see what they're doing, what's up.
Here's your daughter.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Remember me?
Who are you?
Your daughter.
Now, listen, don't be jealous here, Barbie, because she's calling Ken.
You don't understand.
What?
They call him all the time. Dee Dee's like, oh, I miss you guys. That's Charlie on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, how much he misses me. And Dee Dee goes, oh, I wait until 9 o'clock to call you guys. The phone rings at 8:59. And she's always like, how's Charlie? And my mom's, how's my son-in-law? Kathy's always like, tell my brother I said hi. In this whole thing, I've gotten lost. It's all about Charlie.
So cool.
I love you too, Mom.
I'm sorry that you're not in the spotlight now. Legally Blonde. I'm sorry.
But I love you, baby. Who loves you, baby?
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, she's gone. Well, who loves you, baby?
She walked out of the
I think she was looking for a little love from you now.
Yeah.
She's my baby girl.
She's gone now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to talk to her later then, huh?
All right, Lynn. Well,
have you had any frozen drinks today?
Thanks for helping me get such a nice wedding. I had a good time. I hope you did.
It was great.
It was wonderful. Lynn and Ed, you were very nice. Lynn kept coming up to me and saying, you know, are you having a good time? Mm-hmm. I kept saying, yeah, I'm having a wonderful time. And she said, well, you're not yelling and screaming like you do on the radio. And I finally had to say to her, you know, I'm actually quite quiet off the radio, so please don't think I'm aloof. I'm having a wonderful time.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't miserable.
Not at all. Not at all.
Did they have any leftover booze at the wedding?
Perhaps. Could I send a car to pick you up wherever you are this afternoon?
Hey, Mike, I wanted you to come. I
wish, you know, after hearing how great a time everybody had, I wish I had.
I know. I thought you could have just flown in for the evening.
I know, and I should have done that because it looked like everybody had a blast. It looked like you had a fantastic day.
Yeah, we did. We missed you.
Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you to say that.
Lynn, we're up on a break, but I want to say right now, you have carte blanche to call the show anytime.
Okay.
Lynn, darling, do you know the hotline number?
No, but I
hold on.
Have it.
Hold on a second. Robbie will give it to you.
Okay.
You can call whenever you want to talk to your son-in-law.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks,
Lynn. Thank you.
Hold on a second,
all right.
Please. Hold on.
Festive.
Very
good. You see what Rob wrote for me?
What? What does it say?
Oh, just a bottle. A booze bottle.
Still celebrating. And who can blame him?
Right. That was your mother-in-law, Charlie.
Yes, it was.
Nuts.
Yes, it was.
Now, that's nuts. I like that. That's a good balance.
That is very nice.
That's a good balance. That your mother-in-law called in to say that she loves you, and when will you be around? And Lisa, to some extent, was put off by that. You know, and she
was.
You know, well, I'm still here.
Right.
And meanwhile, your mother-in-law is sitting in a room somewhere, you know, with a frozen drink. This has been a nutty show, back.
It has.
Okay. You know, we're running late. Buzz?
Yes.
You know all these people died. We're going to have to get it on tomorrow's news.
All right, then.
We have, let me say that this last segment,
I'll be proud to have brought this to you.
Right. Brought to you by Viramax, yeah. Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Sure.
It's doctor-developed and clinically tested. Viramax works.
I'll drink to that.
Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax, 1-888 try VMAX. You know, at the risk of, I don't want to, I don't want to run late today, so we're going to try to do this on schedule. Mike, would you like some more Viramax? Mike, we got a,
oh, Jesus.
We got a Viramax on the rocks. Oh, and
thanks for calling.
Look who's here. It's Lisa's mom.
Hi there, darling.
Oh, it was so nice of you.
Mike's on the floor now.
So nice of you to be concerned about me if I was having a good time or not. Lynn, like I told you, I'm very shy in person, but thank you, darling. Thank you for calling, Lynn.
It's worth coming back from vacation.
All right, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you listened to the whole show last week while we were on vacation, did you listen, Lynn? Last week, while we were on vacation, I have questions right here about Lynn. Yeah. About
stop it.
This is about the best of last week. And all you have to do is answer one of these questions. Now, now they are not easy questions.
Of course not.
So I hope that you will have listened to the to the whole show. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
I like having your mom call in.
She's not allowed to call ever again.
She's not allowed to call ever again. Now, if you listen to the whole best of for the last 2 weeks, let me just tell you one of the questions that we are not going to use on the air.
Okay.
But to give you an idea of what the questions are like. During the best of that we ran over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Lynn? What is George McFly's wife's name?
Okay. Wow. That
That's
is
an tough. Example of the question. And the answer, Lynn?
No.
Joni. That's the example. So you had to really listen hard. If you get this right, you're going to win $1,000 right now. 877-365-3636. That is the phone. Remember. You know, you gave her the hotline, right?
She hung up.
She hung up. Doesn't have to keep just calling in. Call now if you listen to the best of.
Anyway.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
About this show.
Hey, what happened?
We're out of time.
They're the hair and the teeth in the comedy tumor. Don and Mike.
653. WJFK FM in Washington. Live 105 in Baltimore. WYSP Philadelphia. 96 Rock in Ocean City. 553 at KCJJ in Iowa City. And how about Buffalo?
on WBUFFL.
All right.
It's only been 10 years since we were in Buffalo. We took, like, no phone calls today because we just had so much to cram in.
Nice to be on FM up in Buffalo.
Tomorrow we'll see what's happening. We actually, at one point, we started our syndication. Syndication. Remember when we actually went to Buffalo?
For a Monday night football game.
We went there. Yeah. We went.
Didn't we have like a write your name in the snow contest?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We were on WWKB.
Right.
So anyway, we'll talk some people tomorrow from Buffalo and all the other stuff we did, the tributes and all that other stuff that we didn't have time to get to today. Now, while we were gone for that elongated, you know, the 10 shows, but not really 10 because y'all got the 4th of July off, and a lot of you got the 3rd of July off, a lot of you got the 2nd of July off. When I was driving back from the beach today, it's obvious a lot of you got today off, too.
Yeah. Right.
So, we have questions about the best of segments that we ran. So, please only call now if you actually listen to the best of, as we give away
$1,000. $1,000.
Wow. Someone who can answer one of these, what I consider to be very tough questions about segments that we ran over the last couple of weeks.
Very good.
And let's go right here first. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Cindy.
Cindy, where are you from?
Spokane.
Now, Cindy, did you really listen to our best of shows?
Well, yes, I did, but I'm not saying my memory's that good, but I did listen every single day.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Excellent.
Now, I didn't listen to them, but I saw the layout of what the bits were, and I kind of understand. One day, we were talking about who the biggest whores are in Hollywood. Celebrities who do the most commercials. Now, this was dated. It was like 3 or 4 years old. Who did we say? You only have to give me one of the three, but name one of the three biggest whores in Hollywood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The answers were either Kathy Lee Gifford, Ed McMahon,
right,
or Lay King.
Lay King, hi.
Lay King, let's go to...
This is a good boy.
Another caller. I told you these are not easy questions.
No, not at all. I wouldn't have been able to get it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen to the best of.
Right, and what's your name, my friend?
Kevin.
All right, Kevin. On a show that aired the first week we were on vacation, what show did I say was not only the worst talk show in the history of television, but the worst television show ever?
Would that be The View?
That would be The Magic Show with Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow. Oh, see, it's tough with the dating of it.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, remember when people used to call up and say, you only play stuff that you did like last week, so now
right?
we are going back into the archives. Mm-hmm. Let's try another one.
I know we're running late here today, but what are they going to do, fire us? I like that game show music.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, my friend, did you really listen to the best of?
Yes, I did.
Okay, this one's, I think, an easy one. We played Let's Call Celebrities. And a very famous celebrity dropped the S-bomb on us. Who dropped the S-bomb? Come on.
Not OJ, but,
Okay, you're close. Yeah. He's a Negro.
Yeah,
it's, this guy's driving me nuts.
I have a feeling this guy knows him.
Yeah.
I know, I remember that. Not OJ, but,
Well, he's never killed anybody, let me say in this guy's defense. That I know of.
You don't have it.
I got it.
Who is it? Nope, you don't. It's Ahmad Rashad. Ahmad Rashad.
That drives me insane when somebody doesn't have an answer.
I do believe he listened to the segment and thought he had it.
Yeah.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, did you listen all last week? And
hey, man, I listened for both weeks.
Okay. Name one of two celebrities selling catfish bait in a late night infomercial.
Catfish bait?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say that's an impossible one.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one if you
okay.
Want to. You don't have
to. Be a grease man?
No, it was either Jerry Reed or Mel Tillis.
Okay. You going to give me another one?
Yeah, I'll give you one more.
All right.
Okay.
Who did Mike say would teach him to play poker?
Who did Mike say would teach him to play poker?
Nice eating.
Hmm. That would be the ex. Running out of questions, Mike.
Who did I say would teach me to play poker?
Laura.
My ex-wife?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You said it.
All right.
Let's go to...
Brother,
come on, keep it together. Done. Keep it together. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
Okay. Here's your question. Here is your question.
I hate those best ofs.
Now, when we were talking about the biggest whores in Hollywood, I said it was Kathy Lee Gifford, Ed McMahon, and Larry King. And as much as he hated to admit it, who did Mike add to my Hollywood whores list?
Mike Dad?
Yes.
I don't know. Ed McMahon. Who knows?
You know, nope. I think people really who listen should call, not the greedy people that are just trying to get lucky.
It was Dick Van Patten.
If anyone that is trying to answer a question and replies with who knows, jump in front of a moving vehicle.
Okay.
Who knows?
The love is back.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey.
Who's this?
This is Jeff.
Did you really listen?
I listened wholeheartedly.
Where did I meet Frida?
At a radio station.
No. It was at a DJ convention. At a Bobby Poe. At a Bobby Poe convention. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I listened last 2 weeks.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
A man called and said his girlfriend called him a male nympho. Who did I say the woman was? That's a hard one, I think. Helen Keller was the answer.
Give him an easier one. Give him one easier one.
Okay. When we did Underwear of the Rich and Famous, who did we finally get a hold of?
Hello? Wait, I
he just hung up.
Yeah.
I just hung up. You know what I think the problem is? I think a lot of stations, we've gone over 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
A lot of stations just took us off.
Right. We have to wait till tomorrow to give the 1,000 away?
Oh, no. No, we'll just go to these the WJFK lines.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for taking this phone out because I can get this one.
You think you can get it?
Yeah, not only did I listen last week, I heard him the first time around.
Okay. During Underwear of the Rich and Famous, who did we finally get a hold of?
I think it's the guy that plays the brother on that sitcom show.
Jesus Christ, come on. Nope, it was Al Molinaro.
Damn Al.
Thank you.
Damn Al.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Okay, all right, my friend.
Actually.
Pardon me?
You're my friend.
What?
Never mind. What's the question? I was listening.
What do you want, Mumbles? When we play Let's Call the Celebrity, who dropped the S-bomb?
Who dropped the S or F?
S.
I'm sorry, the phone is... Give me a...
S is in man.
Oh, come on.
I gave him a question that I already asked somebody and gave the answer to.
Oh, the S-bomb, it was,
What is wrong with people? You can't even focus on the last 5 minutes. I already gave him the answer.
Total recall.
He's Ahmad Rashad.
What?
Well, Mike, you are right. We're not giving away the money.
Hello? Hey. No. I mean, these people are, like, dropping off.
I've gone, too.
Ay.
Okay, well, we'll give away the money tomorrow.
That's fine. Well, then, fine.
You know, I mean, I don't know. The whole network is going to be goddamn pissed at us because we won.
I know, and good week for that. What's his name coming?
Hollander coming in.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
We'll give away the money tomorrow.
Turn your radio down.
Radio up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, you already said you're giving away the money tomorrow.
Well, no, I did. But obviously, I contradicted myself because I answered the telephone.
Okay, cool.
Now, listen, did you really listen?
Yes.
Attentively?
Yeah, yes.
No, you didn't.
Not really.
There's a difference between hearing and listening.
What was...
That's what he says to his wife all the time.
What was the prize?
The music.
In the mom bitch off contest.
A Furby.
No.
Teletubby costume.
Damn.
Man, that's pretty close, though. Give him another one. I think he deserves another chance.
I just hung up on it.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Bye.
It's Radio God.
Hi.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Hey,
doing
great.
Very well.
You don't have a chance of winning. Do you? Tell me I'm wrong, please.
I listen every day.
All right.
We played Call the Celebrity. Who dropped the S-bomb?
Ahmad Rashad.
Thank you.
See?
Sad to give it away on that, though. But he got it.
I was hoping he wouldn't get it.
I know.
I was hoping just one more guy would not get it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You won $1,000. We're never doing that again. We're never doing that. I don't know if the questions were too hard.
They're pretty. I mean, I didn't have any of them. No, me neither.
No. But you're allowed.
Yeah, because I'm detached.
I don't think it was the questions. Hey, listen there, my friend. Here's the story. We're out of time. Oh, okay, all right. I got it. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Mark.
Mark, where are you from?
College Park.
All right, Mark. Enjoy your $1,000.
Thank you.
You got to go inside Michael Jordan's bung to get it, because that's where Ahmad Rashad lives. Thank you, my friend.
Thank ye.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know, it was a great show. Yes, it was a great back, one of the best ever, and don't let the last minute and a half.
I'm not. Thanks, fake. Cards. Thanks, cards.
Oh, wait a minute.
They were hard questions.
They were.
But we said they were going to be hard questions.
Who knows?
All right, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you,
Good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And, Rob, let me know as soon as Lynn Herndon calls back. Okay? I'm meeting her down at Applebee's tonight. That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. I hope a lot of stations stay to the show. And if they didn't, help them.
That's it. We got to go.
All right. Goodbye. See you. See you with a new episode tomorrow. Rusty.
Oh, BM eaters.
You said it.
Tim.